The Joe Rogan Experience podcast is brought to you by the Fleshlight. Do you sense a no nasal sort of a tone to my voice today?
I tried to give you allergy medicine,
bit.
Man.
It's a little bit of a cold.
I think it's mostly allergies.
Do you think so?
Because you, me, and like everybody I know, exact same symptoms, exactly.
What are you coughing?
I'm mostly sneezing, running noses, yep. Burning eyes, yep. Shit in my eyes, and a cough
no
once in a
eyes.
While.
No burning eyes with me, just coughing and running nose.
Yeah.
But I don't feel bad. I feel physically. Really
I feel
good.
Fine, maybe a little tired.
I think you're going to be okay.
But we also podcast rammed all over your face today, this week.
Yeah, you know? We've been podcasting like crazy. I don't know if that wears you out, though.
It makes me run out of things to talk about, definitely. Yeah, like yesterday, yeah. I had to try hard.
Well, you did ones after mine, too?
Yeah, well, I've been doing... Do? Yeah, I've done the Naughty Show and whatever, yeah.
Well, at least there's a lot of people on those shows, so they can kind of keep the ball rolling.
Yeah, but you... Yeah. Yeah.
But you feel like you still have
it's
to
still
in.
It's yeah. still not laying on the couch crying. You know, I'm not used to not doing that.
Some people out there working in coal mines, Brian.
I know.
Okay? There's real work out there. There's real jobs. Anyway, what I was about to say is we're brought to you by a rubber vagina. It's not rubber. It's like a mineral. What is it? He explained it yesterday.
I don't know, but he kind of hinted that I could maybe put it in my mouth a little.
Yeah, you think he wouldn't recommend it, but I bet you could eat it and live.
Yeah, like, it would be like eating
Steve-O
shoes.
In his prime, Steve-O in his prime would have eaten a Fleshlight.
Yeah, or right? If you're Tom and Jerry.
Yeah,
you know, like remember
Tom
eating the shoes?
Jerry.
I think we talked about this a long ass time ago.
They ate shoes.
Remember, it was like big in cartoons to always eat your shoes. Like you cook it up and then you cut it off
well,
like a steak.
You know why?
Yeah, I think we talked
it's
about it.
Really, poor people used to actually eat their fucking shoes, man.
That's amazing.
Yeah. Well, you know, I don't think we realize how bad it was in, like, the Great Depression.
Right.
During the Great Depression, when my grandma, when my grandfather grew up, he had this, my grandfather always had this serious, serious air about him, because he had seen people that, like, almost starved to death. You know what I mean?
Right.
Like, he had lived in an era where that was a real possibility. Like in America, you might starve to death. It's not going to be everybody, but it's possible. Things were really fucking bad. And if you can live through that, what does this have to do with plastic vaginas, Brian? Nothing. Nothing, goddamn.
Told you, take this allergy medicine.
They didn't have them back then. Yeah. Thank God we have them now.
Yes. First of all, it would certainly keep the population down. Definitely. This is an excellent tool for population control, the Fleshlight. Go to joerogan.net, click on the link for the Fleshlight, enter in the code name Rogan. You save yourself a bundle of cash. How much? 15%. Get the fuck out of here. No, I won't. I'm being serious. 15%. Enjoy it. We are also sponsored by Onnit.com, makers of Alpha Brain, the cognitive enhancing supplement that I take every day. There's a lot of information available about it on Onnit.com, O-N-N-I-T. If you're fascinated by any of this stuff, I urge you to please Google nootropics, N-O-O-tropics. And nootropics are essentially nutrients that have been shown to have a positive effect on the way your brain works. And Google it and read the pros and cons and do your research and experiment with stuff. You don't have to go out and just take Alpha Brain. If you have some experience in nootropics, you already know you enjoy their effects, then go ahead and try it. But, you know, if you don't, try out some other stuff first. Try out some, there's a bunch of different kinds of nootropics that are available. And it's all available online through the wonders of this thing called the internet.
And it's
so
not,
go check that out.
And it's, the GABA is something completely different from a big tall puppet in a suit.
Yeah, it's not Yo Gabba Gabba.
Right.
It's GABA.
Just GABA.
The controversy ensues. So anyway, we have a bunch of different supplements, fitness supplements for exercise. There's Shroom Tech Sport. It's an amazing endurance supplement. I use that when I do jiu-jitsu or kettlebells or anything really difficult. There's Shroom Tech Immune, which is a great immunity-boosting supplement, as I talk to you with a runny nose. What? Huh? We also have New Mood, which is a mood-boosting, serotonin-enhancing supplement. It's called 5-HTP and L-tryptophan. And when you mix those two together, both of them are responsible for producing serotonin. So it sort of is like gives you the building blocks for serotonin, and it makes your brain produce it. It's nice. It gives you a little happy feeling. So it's all natural stuff. Check it out. The first 30 pills that you order, there's a 100% money, excuse me, a 100% money back guarantee. You don't have to return anything. You just say, I don't like this stuff. You get all your money back. Okay? We can't make it any easier. We're trying to be as fair and as nice as possible. And our goal always is, number one, is I don't ever want to do anything where anybody feels ripped off. So that's why we have this money back guarantee in place. I'm much more concerned with not having people feel ripped off than I am with making money. Okay, so there it is. Go to onnit.com. Check it, bitches. O-N-N-I-T. Enter in my last name, which is Rogan, R-O-G-A-N, and save yourself 10% for now and for always. And what was the other? He had some new fucking code that gets you 35%
off.
Oh,
yeah.
Shit.
I can't remember. You guess you have to download yesterday's episode on iTunes.
Damn it. And he's in a plane right now, too. I can't even text him. All right. Whatever. Yeah, you'll have to download yesterday's because there's a way to get 35% off.
Yeah.
I'll tweet it what it is later. Sorry.
Make him work for it, man.
No, I gotta fucking, it's me, man. I fucked up. I should have had that shit written
It was
down.
Something weird, like TSK or something.
Was it?
Yeah.
And I was just making shit up and confusing people. Somebody probably had it. It was on the tip of their tongue, and then you just said that, and you just fucked them sideways. Boom, into the woods. Speaking of fuck sideways, we're talking to Matt Paxton from fucking Hoarders, ladies and gentlemen.
What's up?
Cue the music.
The Joe
Let's
Rogan
start this officially.
Experience.
Train by day, Joe Rogan podcast by night, all day.
Yes. Now, we are talking today to Matt Paxton from Hoarders. And you want to talk about a dude who has seen some unusual shit.
I see it every
you
day.
You must have a completely different perspective on human beings than your average person.
Yeah. Oh, I mean, it's to a point now where I have a hard time. Like, I mean, I live in the suburbs now, have a wife and kids, and I'm bored to death, like, hanging out with the guys in the neighborhood. Because, during the day, I'm, you know, shoveling 200 dead cats and, you know, 45,000 pounds of shit. And then I got to go talk to some guy about an email that he got in his cube. You know, and I can't, right. I mean, it's actually affecting. I need the crazy shit now. It's,
wow.
I'm really having a hard time living a regular life.
So you've become addicted to all this insanity.
Absolutely. I'm a recovering addict. My issue was gambling. I had a serious gambling problem. Lost everything when I was 25. I mean, literally rock bottom, sitting in a ditch in Lake Tahoe, Nevada. I got my ass kicked by a bookie and, like, had to start over.
Wow.
Like, I had literally $5 in my pocket, and I went and gambled it, trying to make it 10.
Jesus Christ.
And so I hit rock bottom, and over the last, 10 years – slowly but surely got back out, and I've seen it all. And so it works for me with the Hoarders because, like, I'm not going to judge them. I've been in a much – I mean, I thought about sucking dick for money one night. I didn't do it, but I put it on the table.
That's
because I was in a lot of trouble. And I was like, you know, it can't taste that bad. It's not
God
that horrible,
damn.
You know. Like, I started justifying it in my head. And I put a lot of things on the table that night.
Wow.
Segura and I talked about it one night. We were like, you know, I was like, I'm going to run drugs from New York to Miami just once.
Wow.
And get out of trouble. Not like I knew how to set that up or anything, but in my mind, I was like, I'm going to do it. And so, like, I mean, there was a lot of, I was in so much trouble, I put a lot of things on the table. So when I see a lady that's shit in her oven, like, I'm like, you know, it's not that bad, really.
She shits in her oven?
I've had one lady that did, yeah. She Jesus. Actually shit, she shit in a bag and then put the bag in the oven.
Oh, my God.
To keep it fresh, right?
What was the what was the
she wanted to keep it safe.
It?
Yeah,
she wanted to keep her shit? Yeah. She was saving her shit?
I get that.
Yeah, it was a special, something like it was a... I think there was a birthday cake involved or something.
Oh, my God.
So you
was
can't,
the shit from a particular meal that she wanted to
meal
save?
That there might have, yeah, there was something important to it. I know. And you know what? I'll get right at it. These people are not crazy. I hate that word crazy.
Okay.
They sure sound it.
Right.
But something really intense has happened to them at some point in their life that made them, that got it jump-started it and got them. And then about 10 years of bad decisions. Got him there after that, but something horrible, tragic happened to him that initiated it.
So is it this horrible, tragic thing that happens to them? Does it just fuck with the way they see reality?
Totally. I mean,
they block off sections of reality.
Yeah, and that's why I'm so excited to be on this, because you're willing to, like, go into different realities and understand that there are, you could have a whole separate world that exists in your mind, even though you're living in a different one. And
yeah,
that's what happens.
There's
to
a lot
a
of functional crazy
yes.
people out there. Yeah.
Absolutely. Oh my God, we've had judges and lawyers and doctors. I mean, we had one lawyer that were one judge that we literally had to clean his house from midnight to 6 a.m. because he didn't want anybody to know what was going on. But yet, I mean, here I am. Hello, the guy on Hoarders that 3 million people a night see.
Right.
If I'm going into your house every other hour, it's pretty obvious. I'm, you know, we're cleaning up your house.
What did you have to do to the judge's house?
We had to clean it. I mean, it was full. It was but his was nice stuff. It was like art and, you know, fancy things, antiques, and just things he had bought.
He's just overballing.
His was an issue. His wife believed stuff made you who you were. And so he wasn't comfortable with, you know, what you do as a person is who you are. He was whatever you buy is who you are. And so they were searching for more self-worth, and they just kept buying things.
Oh, I see.
And, I mean, it's all mental. It's never about the physical stuff, which is hard to believe. I mean, we could get deep into these hoarders get into big, deep worlds where they think things matter. And I always say it's called, there's an old Avett Brothers song, if you've ever heard the Avett Brothers, an interesting band.
No.
Really cool band.
How do you spell it?
Avett, A-V-E-T-T. Avett Brothers, they're amazing. They drive a lot of my theories on life.
Really?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I mean, they changed the way I work. Like, first time I heard them, I was like, wow, this must have been what it must have been like to hear the Beatles for the first time.
What? Really?
And I know, that's a word you don't throw out. I know that.
Oh, man, you're hyping this up like,
where are they
like
from?
Drive.
They're from North Carolina.
What kind of music is this?
They're bluegrass, but they think they're Led Zeppelin.
Really?
Oh,
yeah.
Holy
and shit. So they play really fucking hardcore.
Dude, throw some of that shit on.
They just got picked up by Rick Rubin. Their last album was Rick Rubin produced.
Wow. Does Rick Rubin still have that crazy beard?
I only know him from like that NYU picture.
I only know him from like Beastie Boys videos.
Yeah. I mean, you think that was their freshman year of college? Him and who was that guy? The black guy.
Russell Simmons?
Russell Simmons and him were roommates freshman year at NYU.
Yeah, it's pretty crazy.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
To me.
They both seem to be like really, even though they're like super successful, they both seem to be like really nice guys.
I met
Russell Simmons, like if you ever read his Twitter.
No.
It's all about love. It's all about love
it's
and do
stuff.
Yoga and drink water and it's like
he's a big yogi.
Nice guy.
Yeah. I met him in an elevator at a shoe convention one year.
Yeah. If there was what is the name of the song, Brian?
10,000 Words Acoustic.
Yeah, it's probably not the song you want to hear.
Oh. Maybe it is.
Dude, Distraction.
Is. Hold on a second.
Here it is. There. That's just in the back of their truck. Check out, if you see Distraction number 74,
uh-huh.
Hit that one live.
Distraction 74, is that a song?
Yeah, you'll see them how their live is really amazing.
Okay, one of those dudes had his pants rolled up and he was barefoot. I find
their
that,
country.
I find that offensive.
They're definitely playing the part now. I mean, they are.
I find that slightly offensive. You knew they were filming
Cut
a video,
jeans.
Dude. You decided to roll your pants up and take your shoes off.
They're
just
still
let
in the
everybody
music
know,
industry.
Man. I'm so comfortable.
They're still
I'm
in the music
so
industry.
So comfortable, man.
Okay. This?
Yeah.
I was in love with your beauty.
So the guy plays
the
a banjo
you walked my way,
like
Lord,
a guitar.
I wish that was enough to have made me want to stay. See, I'm as true as I try to be, and I must say, my girl, I tried the best to give.
It all builds
all
totally the whole time.
The truth in the world. But when I left your house that morning in that ragged Thunderbird, I tried so hard to fight the voices from the devils that I heard. See, there's a highway to the right of us.
Live, it's a whole different world.
This is very original, though.
Yeah.
I can't think
they've
of other
like,
things that it sounds like.
They've got like six albums in 3 years.
Really?
Yeah, they just throw up music.
I'll have to check out their
But the whole point of that was they have a line that says, I'll never know silence without mental violence.
Whoa.
And I get really deep into the word. I mean, like, I just love their music. And they said, I never know silence without mental violence. And that mental violence is the key word for me. For a hoarder, they're 24/7. Their mind is never asleep. Like you and I, I think your brain probably goes overtime a lot. I'm a huge fan of the podcast, and it is pretty. I'm geeking out to be here, but like to know,
we're geeking out to have you.
Thank you. I'm sure. So I mean, to like you allow your brain to go deeper than a lot of people are willing to.
I don't even know what that means. All I do is, if something is curious to me, I follow up on my curiosity.
Yeah, but
I just have the time to do it. I think that's the difference. I don't work a regular day job where, you know, between 9 to 5, I have to have the...
you don't allow rules to limit your brain.
Well, I don't have to. You know, it's really... A lot of it is I've been very lucky in how I've sort of managed to manage my life. And it's just... Yeah, I can think about things. I don't have to think about a company all day.
But someone doesn't tell you how to think of those things.
Yeah.
Your brain just goes.
Well, while I'm allowed to, you know, I mean, I think that's what's really hard for people is jobs. What's really hard for people is, you know, when you fucking work 40 hours a week plus traveling, commuting, that's a lot of time that's not yours.
More than 50% of your life is not yours.
Not yours. Yeah. And you're for most of us, you know, not me, but, you know, I have been in the past for sure. We, you know, when you work in a job like that, you're giving away a giant chunk of your life. That's the majority of us. That's why, you know, systems work. People are tired. People are tired all the time. That's why ridiculous systems are hard to get out of place, because people are just too tired to fix them.
Yeah. I mean, I'm lucky. I always say hitting rock bottom for me was like the greatest thing ever.
Yeah.
Because you fuck up so many times, by the time you get back out of rock bottom, like you pick yourself up,
right,
you've broken all those rules and you're like, fuck, I'm not getting a real job.
So you feel like you're probably the perfect person for this show because you're not even judging these people.
Hell,
like,
no, you've never,
you've been,
I've done
down
worse.
You've been down crazy street, you know,
I've
what
done
the
much
fuck
worse
goes down. Yeah,
absolutely.
That's beautiful, man.
Much worse.
That's
what, so
a great,
I'm not
message
gonna judge
that
them.
Is
I'm totally not gonna judge them. No one is.
What a great message that is, though, if you're saying you've done much worse, and here you are with your shit together.
There's nothing... Yeah, but I sure didn't for 15 years.
I know, but that's so important.
I don't think I have my shit together now. I'm just on TV, and it looks like I have my shit together.
Well, I think you
so
have your
I get
shit right now. Now, you do have your shit together. If you're living in the moment right now, you're
more
not...
More so than yesterday,
You're not methed out. You're not shitting your pants. You're not going crazy. You're not, you know...
You have
know.
You murdered a hooker?
No, but one of my employees did murder another guy. I have a lot. All my guys are ex-con.
Whoa.
Yeah, they're the best employees for this work.
One of your employees murdered a guy?
He did 20 years.
Was he a hooker?
No, the other guy was a drug dealer. And he, I asked him, I was like, what's, like, you know, you did 20 years. His name's Ronnie, great guy. I was like, what's the, like, what happened? And he goes, well, you know, it was me or him. And I go, okay, I get that concept.
Wow.
And I go, so, like, tell me the story. And I told him, I checked with parole officer. It wasn't a all my, I like my guys to be ex-cons because they're not going to judge. Like,
because
they're going to go back to jail the next day if they fuck up with us. I'm their only chance. So with our hoarders, we're their only chance to clean. So I prefer to have, like,
what if that one fuck up is, like, raping you or hurting you?
That would suck. I mean, I mean, it's never happened yet. I mean, I don't let them know my family, if that's what you're, you know, leaning towards. They don't know my
but
family
you,
at all.
But you purposely hook them up with jobs.
Absolutely.
Because you think that they'll be more,
I think,
open-minded.
They're absolutely. And I know they're not, I mean, a college kid drives me crazy because he wants to check his cell phone all day. He wants to try to get laid that night. Don't get me wrong, I get that too. But I mean, he's focused on everything other than my client.
Yeah.
My hoarder is just happy to be. Or excuse me, my worker is from prison. He just got out on Saturday. He's just happy to be out. He's been in a 10x10 for 20 years.
How do you know whether or not you can trust him? Do you pick?
I go through. There's some church groups that rehab him in prison. And we know they've been sober for 2 years. These guys are, like, devoted to a vegan diet. I mean, they're already have committed to lifestyles inside the system to get clean.
Wow.
So, I mean, believe it or not, staying sober in prison is a really hard thing to do.
Is it really?
You can get anything you want.
Anything you want.
These guys will tell you, man, anything you want, you can have it in a day if you're willing to pay.
Really?
Yeah. I mean, these guards make $20,000 a year, and they can pick up an extra 60 or 70 running shit to the prisoners.
I don't really have a problem with that.
I get it. It is what it is, man.
I
get it.
You know, prison must fucking suck.
It sucks. I can't imagine it. If you got to get high to get through it, so be it.
It's the worst way to fix people.
It's
the worst way to fix. I mean, it does for some scares them into a life of discipline. Like Bernard Hopkins, he's a perfect example.
Yeah.
You know, Bernard Hopkins when he was young,
he's a boxer, isn't he?
Yeah. Yeah, he's the current light heavyweight champion, and I think he's 47.
Really?
Which is insane. Yeah, his discipline is just ridiculous.
Well, the discipline is the key word.
Yeah.
I mean, these guys are so devoted, they don't even try to eat it. You think it's hard to eat a healthy lifestyle outside of prison? Try to eat a healthy lifestyle with no.
Yeah.
I mean, they'll eat, like, just water and bread. And that's
Jesus
it.
Christ.
You know, I mean, like,
that doesn't sound healthy.
No, well,
the food is so bad.
The food is so bad, and they're just so committed to a clean lifestyle. By the time we get them, they're awesome.
It's so ridiculous to me, the fact that we have private prisons. That fact is so shocking to me.
Yeah.
That there are actually businesses that profit off the
substantially
amount.
Substantially
profit. Really
profit
off
Very
the amount profitable. Of people that get arrested. And so they also lobby to keep certain laws on the books.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
To make sure there's more things to arrest people for, so there's more people in their prisons. It's like, this is the Matrix. That's insanity.
Most of my dudes are young black men that never knew their dads. They were just trying to get by. They never had a freaking chance.
Yeah.
They knew, in their mind, selling a little weed on the corner, that was right. There wasn't anything wrong about it. I mean, the difference between right and wrong is is totally subjective.
Right.
And a lot of our guys, they don't, in their world, they're just trying to survive.
Why is that wrong? But it's okay for the guy to sell oxycodone. Yeah.
Because I'm white, CVS Pharmacy. I didn't get caught, or I had the proceeds to get out of trouble.
Yeah, that's so silly. Yeah. It's really preposterous.
So anyway, so my guys, I like those guys. They'll give me their heart, and they'll give my hoarder. They'll give 100% effort.
Wow.
To my client. And so that's the dudes I want.
That's really cool, man. You know, look, I'm certainly for prison. I'm certainly for keeping dangerous people.
You raped a kid. I hope you die in prison.
I agree.
But you sold weed, man? Get out.
Not just that. There's a lot of other things that happen that people get arrested for. And I think, you know, I think we really could do with a better way of rehabilitating people and a better way of sort of managing kids that are coming up. We've got to recognize when there's these big populations of kids without fathers and terrible neighborhoods where everybody's stealing and it's just crime everywhere. There's got to be a way that some asshole can profit off helping these people.
And but that's only the only way. I'm pitching a deal right now. I mean, like, I keep talking.
Really?
I'm trying to. Yeah, because to me, it's worse forest development, really. And if these kids, none of them have dads. Most of their dads are in prison or dead. And I don't want to paint a brush and say everyone is this way.
Right.
But a lot of these kids don't stand a chance. They just simply don't stand a chance. So I'm saying they're going to be – for the next 20 years, they're in prison. So let's just go ahead and get in there because they don't – I actually found out from some of my guys, you don't even qualify. I mean, you think it's bad outside with no money and no funding for social services. You try to get funding inside a prison. I mean, they're at the bottom of the list. There's no government money for prisoners. So these dudes can't even check out a book in the library until the last 2 years of prison.
Really?
You're only available for educational services your last 2 years.
So what if you're on so you're 18 years,
you're sitting around jerking
no
off.
No books.
Nothing.
Holy shit.
Ronnie, the guy works for me, spent 9 years in solitary.
Whoa.
First day he went in, he had to beat a guy up, show that he was tough. He got out, and he was mad. He said, I was angry for 5 years. And think about that statement. Angry for 5 years. And you're in a 10x10 dark room, and that's all that you are. Is angry. He had nothing else. It's insane. So nothing, no break, nothing. 5 years. He gets out, finds the same guy, beats the shit out of him.
Oh, my God.
Goes back in for 4.
Jesus Christ.
Because he was mad at that guy for 5 years.
Well, he's fucking crazy.
At that point, he was, yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Well,
but he's out. Yeah.
What is that experience like of being locked without human contact for 5 years?
9. He got out for 30 seconds.
Well, he had a little contact after that.
Somebody came in for, I don't know, 30 minutes.
How did they ever let that guy out of jail?
Ronnie? Yeah, he served his time. I mean, it's crazy. Now, that's another part that's pretty crazy. You know, he served his time.
But what kind of a rehabilitation is that?
There was no rehabilitation. I'm doing his rehabilitation. I'm teaching him what it's like to be a real man. I'm teaching him what it's like to talk and to listen and to communicate. I mean, we're doing the rehab. And that's what my next thing after this show's over, I want to do a for-profit program where we go into prisons the last 2 years. We give these kids an MBA because most of them are drug dealers. They get cost of goods sold. They get business. I mean, they were selling drugs. They understand what things cost. They understand margins. They get it. And they already understood the principle of business. They got 2 years to sit around and do nothing. I want to teach them good business principles. Let it be a contest. And whoever comes with a good idea, we're going to fund them. So when they get out, we're going to have a for-profit halfway house. That when they get out, they now get entrepreneurial training for the next 2 years. So they get out, and they're with us for 2 years, and we train them, and then we teach them the business and get their business started.
That's awesome.
I think there's a way to make money on that, too. I'm not doing it for free. I'm not trying to be, and I'm not looking for government grants. I'm going to take a piece of their business and give them a chance. And as long as it's a good business, they're going to make money.
Right.
You imagine having 2 years to sit in a room and think and get and be able to put a business? I mean, think of all the businesses you're putting together.
Yeah.
If you had no other distractions for 2 years, how awesome would that be? I'm not saying prison's awesome, but to be able to be devoted to something would be really cool.
It's super motivating is what it is.
It can be.
Yeah, it can be.
Or it can be, you know, mortally depressing. I mean,
we got to figure out a better way to fucking... We got to get Halliburton involved in rehabilitating cities.
Some huge company.
Yeah, if
like
Halliburton
that.
Could get like a grant, I mean, they can... If
to
we,
make
if
Detroit
we
profitable.
Hire them to rebuild Iraq, why can't we hire them to like, you know, rebuild Compton? Why can't we hire them to like, you know, set up some
Baltimore.
Sort of community centers where kids without fathers can be mentored, you know, on a daily basis so that someone can
I think it's
give
gonna
them
be,
a discipline to put their life in gear.
I've learned with doing hoarders, man. Like, I'm learning it's cool to make a difference. I didn't know that.
What feels good, doesn't it?
It's amazing. It's the newest. It's my new drug. I mean, it's the best. I don't need to gamble anymore because I'm helping people every day. And it sounds silly. It's like totally addictive to me. And I'm needy. Don't get me wrong. I need. That's part of who I am. I need that fix every day of someone saying you helped me. But if it does for greater good, fine.
Yeah, I mean, you're getting your little rush, but you're getting, it off of super positive things.
All for helping people. Absolutely.
It's like you've changed something that's just chaotic and crazy, like gambling, into something where you're getting this rush off of only positive things and things that benefit other people.
Yeah.
That's beautiful. That's like the best.
I'm still getting my rush. I'm still getting my fix.
You've channeled your obsession, but I've just rechanneled. You figured out how to do it all and be everything's positive, though.
I mean, you think if some child molester that he has to have that rush to do whatever you got to do. What if you could channel that into, he's got to have that rush, and he'll do anything to get that rush, but that rush is now helping people.
But look, that would be beautiful if I believed it was true.
That's a bad example. I don't think they can be helped.
I think there's such a high recidivism rate. I think there's something wrong with their brains.
I'll help anyone. Yeah. I mean, literally, Ronnie killed a dude, and I'm fine with Ronnie in my home, but I'm not going to help a child molester. I can't do it.
Yeah, I agree. I've met a few guys over the course of my life who had killed people. And, you know, some of them in war and some of them in...
Well, that's a whole different story.
I knew guys would kill people accidentally in fights. I knew a guy who did
that.
Yeah, he had a weird look on his face, man. I knew a guy who killed a guy, a buddy of his, in a drunk driving accident. He always had a weird thing about him, you know.
Well, I was listening to your... that podcast a couple weeks ago when you were talking about... you guys were talking about Rhode Island and, like, all these dudes you were talking about...
Yeah.
Had gone to prison or killed someone or, I mean, they all...
A couple guys had. This one guy who beat a guy to death with a stick. He was a comic.
And that's more than a decision. I mean, that's a commitment to an act. I mean, you don't... Yeah. One time you hit him and he dies, fine. But you hit him 100 times.
Yeah, there's a lot.
You made 99 more decisions to kill that fucking guy.
There's a lot of crazy fuckers out there in this world. It's amazing that you're so entrenched in them. Yeah, you seem like a pretty together dude.
I think so. I mean, kids changed me. I mean, I got two young. I got a 2-year-old and a 5-month-old. And my wife changed me. I mean, I never thought I'd get married. I mean, I was living, when I got on Hoarders, I was living on a buddy's couch. I was cleaning up shit for $12 an hour. Literally shoveling shit for $12 an hour. And anybody that would hire me.
Like a dog? Like people's dogs?
No, people's houses. I'd go into a hoarded house and clean up their shit for $12 an hour.
So you, before the show even?
I've been cleaning houses for 4 years. When I hit rock bottom, I mean, I literally lost everything. I was living on a buddy's couch for $200 a month, and I couldn't come up with $200. The third month, he was like, dude, you know, we're 30, man. Like, you gotta do something, man. I talked to my old podcast. My 30th birthday, I was engaged to another girl. And I realized, I was like, my life is a fucking joke. Like, I can't pull her into this. I got no business being married. And so I called off the wedding like a month before I was going to get married.
Wow.
And that was a hard decision. And I was living on my buddy's couch. And it was my 30th birthday, which, you know, is a milestone in your head. And I said to my mom's like, well, what do you want? It's been a hell of a year. And I was like, I need a pair of running shoes. And I couldn't afford, I was trying to run a marathon that year, and I couldn't afford a pair of shoes to run. I didn't have enough money. I owed like $100,000 in credit cards, and I mean, it was scary. So I started cleaning up old ladies' houses.
Wow! And how'd you get that job? Like, how do
my dad died. The biggest thing, important thing in my life for me was my dad dying when I was 24, and that changed my life. I mean, my dad. I was a fucking asshole. I was just a piece of shit. All I cared about was drinking, gambling, and nailing women. All three great things. Don't get me wrong. I mean, my 20s were really fun.
Sounds like you had a good time.
Had an awesome time. Why'd you stop? Had a blast. I really did.
Well, you're talking to a guy who I spent a good deal of my youth in pool halls.
Yeah, so you. So I mean, a hustle. I was a hustler, man.
Gambling addicts. Yeah. On a regular basis.
But
very, very common.
Yeah, I mean, for me, I hadn't honed my hustle in the right place. I'm still a hustler. I'm just doing it on TV in a positive way.
Yeah.
I never change who I am. I've learned I'm able to make more money in a positive way than I am in a negative way. People don't talk like I talk. They don't say the things I say. And I've learned just being brutally honest is the best hustle there is.
Well, how did you get into this environment where you were around like gamblers, and how did all this happen?
Well, oh man, the first time I went to casino, I fell in love with it, man.
How old were you?
College. This guy, George.
So that's when you became a gambling addict?
Yeah.
Before then,
George,
you were fine?
Yeah. This guy, George Roman, he had Tourette's, really cool dude. He was a very confident guy. He had Tourette's, but he didn't give a shit. It was like your problem that he had Tourette's, not his.
Wow, that's awesome.
He's a very confident guy. And so I was like very attracted. I was like, man, this is a cool fucking guy.
Right.
Like, he put it on you. He did not care that he had Tourette's. And he would get the hottest chicks at school. He's a really awesome, confident guy. And my dad always told me, he's like, you're never going to be the best looking guy. You'll never be the hardest working guy. you got to be the most confident, because I think that's your only in. Like, you got no other valuable
thing.
Dad
just broke you off.
No, he just was honest.
He said,
he's like, you know,
listen, son, you
you're not
going to
be rich. Yeah, you're not going to be rich. You're not going to be any
of that
stuff.
Here's your dick. Here's a ruler.
Yeah, you ain't got a big dick. It is what it is. And my dad got mad. Mad women. I mean, he got, and he was so ugly, but he just,
he
women
just
loved him.
He
knew how to, he talked honest. He talked honest, and he treated them like, he treated them with respect and as a woman. Uh-huh. And so I learned a lot from him. But when my dad died, I went to this little place called Comfort Zone Camp. It's a camp for kids that have lost their dads. And so I was in LA. We helped to build the LA camp, and my wife and I did. But I met her there. And but we helped build these camps for these kids that all their dads had died in drive-bys. So you meet all these 12-year-old kids that are going in, you know, they're getting recruited by gangs already, because their dads have already, they're 23-year-old dads that, you know, have been killed, 25-year-old dads. So we learn, I mean, I just, grief was a huge part early on. And so for me, like, when I got out of my really rock bottom and I realized it's time to get going, where I figured that out, the doing good versus doing bad, was at this camp. I got addicted to that camp. I volunteered every single weekend, and I would just, I mean, I'd go away for 3 nights and hang out with these kids. And that's when I got my new addiction, was then.
Wow.
And it changed my life. That place changed my life. I met my wife there. I came up with a new business, my business, Clutter Cleaner. I came up with it there, helping these kids. I met a lot of great women and met my wife there. So, I mean, I wouldn't have what I have.
How did you pull yourself out of the gambling spiral? You said you found yourself
in
a ditch.
I ran like a fucking chicken, man. I mean, I got my ass kicked by a bookie.
Right.
And
you
the
owed
night
him money.
I owed $40,000. The night before, I had $10 left to my name. I knew I owed this bookie. I think it was $40,000. And it was a lot. I knew I only had $10 in my pocket. My girlfriend was waiting for me. I was in Lake Tahoe. She was waiting for me at the top of the hill up at Heavenly. And I was gambling all night. I had $5 in my mind. I thought I had $5 at the end of the night. And I was like, I better put this down. I got to get a cab ride home. So I was giving up. I had $5 to my name. And I owed $40 to the bookie.
$40,000.
Yeah, which for a 24-year-old kid not making that is a lot of money. And so I put the chip down, lost. Came out, I had no money, I lost my last dollar, came out, and I had nothing. And it was like, I got a fucking problem. And so I was looking at the cabbie, and he's like, the guy that drove me back every night. And he was like, he looked at me, and I was like, I got no money, man. So I started walking uphill, 5 miles uphill to the ski resort. Tahoe's a very awesome, isolating place. So it was a 5 mile incline road as we went up. And I'm walking up this thing, and he came up, picked me up, and he was like, dude, you gotta get your life together, man. You gotta quit gambling. And I remember when this, and at that point, I was still judging people, and I was like, looking at this, I was like, this poor, stupid cab driver, no God knows what happened to him. But I was totally judging him.
Right.
Yet he's saving me. He's picking me up. And so I'm still treating this guy, like, in my mind, like a piece of shit. And he picks me up, he drops me off, and I'm like, can I give you anything? He's like, dude, just stop gambling. And he looked at me like, just fucking stop.
And that's what made you stop?
Well, and I called my mom the next morning, and she's like, you're on your own. So then I went, I called the bookie, and I was like, I don't know what I'm going to do, man. I don't have the money. And I mean, this was like a movie. He's like, no worries, man. Everything's going to be fine. We'll work it out. What do you have? And I was like, I might be able to scrounge up $1,000. He goes, no worries. Come on down. I'll meet you down this afternoon. So I was like, this isn't like movies at all. This is great. We're going to work it out. And I went down. He took the $1,000 and he beat the shit out of me. Broke my nose. I totally was just clueless. And he broke my nose and beat the shit out of me. That was my rock bottom. And I was like, what the fuck am I going to do? So I called around. I called an old boss, and I told him my mom had already said, you're on your own. Find a legal way out. And that was the night where I put a lot of dumb shit on the board. I mean, I was like, all right, I'll just be a prostitute, or I'll do whatever. Like, I was like, I can be mentally strong. I can figure this out. And I was lying to myself saying, I can figure this out.
Wow.
And so ended up, an old boss got me a job in Chicago. And he goes, when can you get? This was a Tuesday night. And he goes, when can you get there? And I was like, Friday. He goes, you start Friday. They're going to pay off the bookie, but you're going to have to work for a year to pay. They're going to take it out, piece out every night.
Wow.
And I was like, great, thank you. And I literally, my buddy, I didn't have money to get home, so I had to play poker that night. I borrowed $50 from a buddy and won enough money playing poker to get gas money.
Oh, my God.
And that's how I drove home, and I never gambled again.
Really? You just quit?
I quit. Cold I ran turkey. Away. And I still run away. I still run away today.
Wow.
I just don't. I mean, like, this is the worst week for me, the first the NCAA tournament.
Oh, you were a basketball person?
Killing me, man. Oh, my God, I love it. It's my
favorite. So do you still watch it?
Oh, yeah, love it.
Oh, wow, no. Love it. Is it,
I just don't do the sheets. I delete all the emails. I just can't do the sheets.
Wow, that's crazy. Yeah, so you're just battling it every day, huh?
I don't
Sort of, but you have a handle on it.
Yeah, I mean, I haven't gambled in 8 years. I don't really...
8 years?
Yeah, my kids are just wearing me out now. I don't really have the effort for that kind of stuff anymore.
Does it still draw you, though?
Every once in a while, I get that itch. Yeah, really? Every once in a while, I get that. Like, I had it this year. I had a really bad itch, and I had a flight to Vegas to do a Hoarders episode, and it wasn't even in Vegas. I just had a three-hour layover, and I was like, fuck yeah, I'm going downtown. And I got excited, and I hadn't had that itch in a long time. Like, I can drink, I can smoke, I can do whatever because I can walk away.
Mm-hmm.
I can't walk away from a table. That's my weakness.
Wow.
I don't know how to walk away. If I have a dollar or 10 grand,
so
I'm going to fucking blow
it. Your special brain chemistry, whatever it is in your mind.
For me, that's my...
When
that's
gambling
it.
Comes up, you just bing.
I love
you
it.
Just connect.
Like, that's my ultimate way of shoving it to the man and like, I'm better than you. I can do this. And
really?
I, you know,
that's
for me,
what it is?
Yeah, it's a self-worth thing. I was looking for self-worth.
So a gamble... How do you get self-worth out of gambling?
For me, that's where it went, man. That, I mean, for you might get... I mean, where do you get your self-worth?
I don't know.
I get
I'm
it.
Trying to think about it.
Yeah, my new thing now is like, I really know that I'm making a difference on these podcasts. So I dig that. I'm starting to get it. That's where I'm
what
getting my rush.
What is your podcast called again?
It's called Five Decisions Away.
Five Decisions Away. Yeah. And what is essentially, what is it?
Well, it's about, it just recounts all my mistakes over the last 15 years. I was doing a Hoarders where in New York City where this guy had a mass, he had an acre in Brooklyn, a massive property in Brooklyn. This guy had inherited it from his dad and it was had about 6 feet of bicycles all the way through the yard. So an acre at 6 feet high, think of the metal. The value of that metal was probably 100 grand in metal. And he had a bum living in his yard. So inside the hoard, there was a bum living there.
Oh, my God.
And that was one of the things we had to clean up. We had to get rid of the bum. So I was literally, I mean, this is 2 years ago. I'm sitting here in Brooklyn hanging out with this bum. His name was Gregory. I'll never forget him. And I was like, and this is the cool thing about Hoarders. I get to meet all these dudes.
Right.
And I was like, all right, Gregory, how'd you end up here, man? Because he had a bunch of like 40 ounces. He had a bunch of these Magnum condoms, and so I was like, "Fuck yeah, this guy's getting more ass than I am, and he lives in a fucking shack." You know,
and he's being responsible.
Turns out he was huffing. I didn't realize he was just huffing gasoline.
Huffing gasoline with the condoms?
Yeah, they would fill up the condoms and then with the fumes. And then I thought he was getting ass. I didn't realize he was just trying to get high.
Jesus,
don't knock
Christ.
It, Joe.
Hey, it is what it is, man.
Wasn't there a show on recently where a woman had an addiction with drinking gasoline?
Yeah, my strange addiction. Yeah.
What was that about?
You pretty much said it. She was drinking gasoline.
She really would just drink
really
gasoline.
That's fucked up. She loved it.
There's people that like do crazy things, like sleeping with hair dryers is really big.
I've seen eating glass.
Yeah.
I read the other day. My wife forwarded me this thing. Apparently. Second to porn, the most downloaded stuff is watching fat people on, like, people pay money to watch a fat person stream live, a fat person just living.
Oh,
wow!
Second to porn.
No, I like the naked
what?
Fat.
What?
Fat girls.
Second to porn. They pay to watch fat people.
So there apparently is tons of websites. There was some girl on, she was on TV. My wife saw it. There's like people out there that you would pay like a monthly fee to just stream live to watch this fat person walk around.
Wow.
And that doesn't do it for me. But gambling did. So, to me, I think everything is related. And the whole reason I do well on Hoarders is because I've been lower or made worse decisions they ever have. And so they trust me. And I am able to, they know that. And I scream that story to them. Mm-hmm. So by the time I get to meet with a Hoarder, I'm already part of their family because they know I'm not about to judge them. Period.
So you're just helping them and pulling all their junk out.
Yeah, it's easy to throw stuff away. Now, I also don't mind, like, I get the bad stuff. So I get, like, 200 dead cats. I'll get
Does that cat shit drive you crazy? Or, I mean...
The urine is what gets me.
Oh, yeah.
Urine, I can't do the urine. The shit, you don't smell.
Right.
The urine is much stronger.
No, I mean, seeing the actual dead cats. I mean...
Oh, no, I hate cats. I could give a shit about it.
That
I'm happy with dead cats. Dead cats make you smell. Now, dead dogs, it's hard. I can't do that.
It bums you out?
Yeah, I saw one with a lab was just laying in a cage dead, and that was really sad for me. But, like, I see 100 dead cats, I think it's funny. Like,
why was
totally
it dead?
She just left it there. Yeah, starvation. It was
Jesus
really sad, yeah.
Fucking Christ.
So but it's weird. Why is it any different from a dog from a cat? It shouldn't. You know, the diapers is my favorite now. I laugh. I mean, I did one where this lady, we had a really bad earthquake earlier this year on the East Coast, and it's right near Washington, D.C. And I was literally filming a Hoarders episode. I'm standing, this lady's sitting on her toilet. We're on the second floor of an old brick townhouse outside of D.C. and a big house. And I'm standing on 4 feet of her own diapers that she's been tossing in a corner. In
her own diaper.
Her own diaper. So she'd take a shit in her diaper.
Oh, my
Or she'd have her period in her diaper, and then she'd just throw it in the corner.
God.
And the pile built up to be about 4 foot high, about 6 foot across.
Oh, my God. What, so, what are you dressed like? Are you in a hazmat suit?
Yeah, that one I was in a hazmat suit. Most of the times I just wear, like, boots and jeans and a...
And how is she, like, existing in that
environment? They can live anything. It's like an 80-year-old smoker. You know, you see these guys, and you're like, you should be dead 20 years ago, and he's the toughest fucking guy you've ever met.
Yeah, I mean, their immune system must be going to war those all people, day.
We'll be in all hazmat, and then... They're just sitting there hanging out.
Oh, my God.
I don't like to, if I'm conversing one-on-one with them, I don't want to have a mask on because I think that's a wall, and I don't want to lose that trust with them.
Right.
But sometimes I'm not going to kill myself.
Yeah,
know?
I don't want to die from smelling your shit, stupid.
I don't. The shit doesn't bother me. Oh. It's the, like, when there's fleas that have sat in your shit, and then the flea comes up and sits on me, that's when I got an issue.
Oh,
I don't want to be, like, 100 fleas on my face full
with
of
human
full of your
shit.
Oh, not just shit, your
Jesus
shit.
Jesus Christ.
It's more personal when I know it's yours. So anyway, this lady, this was the crazy part. This lady.
This is the crazy
part.
Yeah,
I ain't got to the good part yet. Wait for it.
Oh, my goodness.
So then I'm talking to her about, like, tell me the first. I was like, I understand how you, after 10 years, you can throw your diapers. That's easy. I said, but the first time you made the decision, I'm not going to shit in the toilet. I'm going to just throw this in the corner. I was like, the first time is the hard decision. So, like, that's what I was trying to get to. What did you think? Why were you thinking this is okay? Where did you justify in your head that this is an acceptable behavior? And so it's that first decision what's so important to me. And as I'm asking these questions, the house starts to shake sideways.
Oh, no.
And I'm like, maybe we just got hit by a truck. And then all of a sudden, the house starts to shake up and down. And by the way, there's a 300-pound camera guy right behind me as well. And all of a sudden, I was like, holy fuck, this must be... I've never had an earthquake before. I was like, this must be an earthquake. And the house is just... It's like... I mean, it's like hooloing. I mean, it's just a circle. And I'm like... And I freak out. I'm like, get the fuck out. I'm screaming at everybody, get out, get out. And I run down the steps, and I look at her, and I'm like, I don't want to die under your shit. That's the worst place to die.
Oh, my
under
God.
Your shit. And I realized I'm screaming this at this lady in front of 30 people. And it was worse for her than the goddamn earthquake. Me telling her I didn't want to die under her shit. And I felt so bad. And I was like, I just almost died in a freaking house. And I'm worried about, you know, upsetting this lady.
Right.
But, like, that was you never know what you're going to hit. I mean, that's what I love about my job also. I mean, you know.
So did
I went
you,
in that
you
day.
Just feel like you just crossed a line?
I did. I crossed the line with her. And I still apologize to her every time
I
talked to her.
Yeah, I mean, you knew she was crazy going in there. To say, you're crazy once you're there.
Yeah, it's you don't, like, say it. It's not. It's obvious.
Right. It's like.
It's like telling a girl with big tits that she has big tits. Like, you don't need to say it. Everyone knows.
Sometimes you let her know. Let her know you
privately,
know.
Yeah.
Let her know what's up.
Poke her in the back and let her know.
Let her know you know. Don't be scared to let her know you know. Don't try to keep all your cards under the table, right, Brian Redband?
I often find that I think I'm a hoarder. And it's because I'm such a tech dork that every one of these things that you see here comes with a cable and instruction book, and I feel like I have to save that because I'm going to need it later.
That is hoarding tendencies, believe it or not.
What's that?
I mean, we get guys that they want to fix. I can fix this. I can fix this.
Right.
It's they hold on to things. Now, you obviously know the limits.
Yeah, I know the limits to a point, but also that and clothes are my two horrible things. I hate fucking folding clothes or hanging up clothes. So I just kind of keep them in like piles in my closet. Like, it's pretty. That's the two things, though.
I have a million uber douchey MMA t-shirts that people have given me that I'll never wear.
Yeah.
It's like a battle axe into a skull, you know, like chop your head off.
You must get
fight
so
gear.
Much stuff from people because you're like kind of one of the original dudes.
It's cool in some ways. I get, you know, people send me like cool equipment. So it's good in that way.
I get cleaning supplies. I mean, nonstop. People send me equipment they want me to use in a house, you know.
Well, I mean, it's good to get that shit for free, isn't
it? Yeah, I just give it to the hoarder. I don't need. I'm a minimalist. I don't want anything.
How many people that you go in and sort of intervene and restructure their life, how many of them does it stick with?
This is the number one question. If they invest in the therapy, and I say invest, I don't mean money, I mean time. If you invest fully in the therapy process, it's about 60% with my guys.
60%?
Yeah. If you don't do the therapy, guaranteed 100% failure.
Wow.
It'll be full within 2 months, and usually faster. Now, and I don't want to say...
But you said 60% success?
Yeah, but I don't want to say... It's not always traditional therapy. A lot of these... When you see me on hoarders, these are stage 5 hoarders, which they're the worst. I mean, they haven't... They've literally been shitting in their living room for 20 years.
Jeez.
Okay, so I mean, I'm talking extreme, extreme stuff. So traditional therapy is not going to work with them. So I don't want to act like if you just talk therapy, it's not going to... it's not for everybody.
Right.
And so a lot of my stage five hoarders, they've got to have, there's a lot of Western therapy that's actually amazing. There's a lot of post-traumatic stress disorder, light therapies that we're doing with a lot of, that the guys are doing with all the guys coming back from Iraq now.
Mm-hmm.
Those are some really fucked
light,
up guys.
With,
that are,
what are they
it's,
doing?
It's this light therapy that they hit them with all these light treatments, and it actually helps them remember whatever that tragic event was, whatever the trigger was. And it helps them go back to that. Because most of these, like a hoarder.
Whoa.
Like that sounds crazy.
It's yeah, fat. I think it's fat. I'm not a doctor. I mean, I'm a trash guy. But like the therapists that we work with, we brought in some new like homeopathic doctors that have come in. And we found that traditional medicine may not always be right for hoarders. And it's really interesting.
Well, what is a homeopathic doctor going to give them?
Like,
is there something in their fucking homeopathic book about hoarding?
No, I mean, there's
ginger root.
Well, shit, like, I mean, like, I know acupuncture does some crazy stuff, man.
Does it?
It's some amazing stuff.
Is acupuncture
stuff.
Legit, Brian? Have
Joey
you
Diaz fucking swears by it.
It's
That's all
legit,
he talks
man.
About.
It's totally yeah. legit.
Is it legit or is it one of those power bracelet things where you...
Well, if you believe in it, yeah sure. I know what you're saying. I mean...
I had the acupuncture done once on an injury, on a neck injury. I don't think it did shit.
Well, so for you, it's not legit.
It might, but I was open-minded. Yeah. It just didn't work for me at that moment. Maybe it was something I needed to do more than once or something.
And when Joey Diaz describes that, it seems like he says shit, weird shit sometimes. Like, oh, this brown juice came out of my foot. And I'm like,
yeah,
what's that
what?
Mean?
How about that? Yeah. How about he was saying, hey, I should put your foot in a bath and you see the impurities come out of your body.
Yeah.
Like, the impurities are coming out of your feet? Like, what are you, a fucking plant?
I've had brown
what are you
shit.
Talking about? What
I've
are
had
you?
Brown shit on my feet. But
yeah,
I'm not coming out of it.
That doesn't even make sense. There's like a lot of like pseudo medicine talk that these people throw around, and I always get confused. I never know what's real and what's just a crock of shit.
I'm old school, man. If it works for you, and I believe this with faith, with medicine, whatever.
If it works
for you, cool.
Mm.
It may be totally fake in my world. But in your world, if it works for you, I'm fine with it.
Have you ever met one of those crazy dudes that's like a healer and says you can
shaman.
Line up your meridians and touch you in certain places?
Yeah. Makes you take off all your clothes in the back of his car.
Yeah, he just wants you to take his pants off.
I've seen guys that have smart guys convinced that they can actually do that.
Oh, yeah, I mean.
I've seen that with real successful people, and they'll start telling you how great this guy is. I'm telling you, it doesn't make sense. This guy, he's like some sort of a shaman or something. He knows how to line up your meridians. And you meet the guy, and, you know, if you are like me, you probably have a very highly tuned
sense. I got
sense
2 seconds on a bullshit
detector.
Yeah,
you're like, wah, wrong. Yeah.
The fuck out of my face.
Well, at least
man.
You're still
yeah.
talking to Andy Dick.
Exactly. Andy Dick is not full of shit, I'll tell you that. Don't say that about Andy.
No, I was just kidding.
That is one thing Andy is not.
He's getting his shit back together.
I hope so. Yeah. I love Andy. He's definitely not full of shit, though. Andy's crazy, but he's not full of shit. But this guy was like doing all this to these dudes that I knew that were like, you know, successful dudes, and I had to come along and you know and meet this fella and you know started asking him about the science behind what he does, and it's just the more you get deep into questions with it, the more it starts crumbling. Like, where'd you learn this? What is this?
Well, see, you probably just were relentless and never stopped with the questions.
Well, it was ridiculous. It was preposterous.
It involved turquoise,
and it also did the thing. He did something that
I
really don't like.
Yeah, the crystal.
He did something that I really don't like. He reached over and like pinched a hold of my trap muscle while we were talking. You ever have a conversation with someone and they're like holding on to you?
No.
Not hard.
He
like
broke
not
your personal space.
Not to yeah, but it wasn't even to the point where it wasn't. I was not insulting him. So you might say like, oh, this guy was like, this is about to get physical. It was not that. He was being very friendly and like a friendly gesture. But he almost had a preacher hug. It was a weird he had like a light pinch on me. It was like a light pinch. It wasn't. It was just a little, just something that made me think like, why is he doing this? Like, you
That's
ever talk to
a
dude?
Thing. That's a control thing.
You ever talk to a dude and they hold your knee? They lean in and they hold your knee, and then they want to tell you. And I'll tell you what, right now, Matt, I didn't know what I was going to do. And you're like, why the fuck are you holding my knee?
It's magic.
And, yeah.
It's diversion.
Yeah.
They were diverting you from whatever was really
it
going
enhances
on.
The most. Yeah. So the guy did that when he was talking to me, which automatically makes me feel like he's a charlatan.
Pickpocketer.
If I know that this guy is a hustle, he's a mental hustle, this is what he's doing. I mean, obviously, he's tricking these people into thinking that he's healing them, or maybe he is magic.
It's Let's a power
just
play, man.
Leave that on the table.
Yeah.
But when a guy does like a psychological move like that, where he just reaches, I mean, that's really like. It's like really base. That's not like complicated at all. It's like really obvious. Like if somebody reaches in and holds on to you, it's an odd move. Like why?
I mean, I do that with hoarders. When in a bad moment, I make sure I got a hand on her back as a hug.
on purpose. Yeah,
but that's
on purpose,
but that's on purpose.
But that's
strategy.
To give good energy. That's to like
yeah, but
comforter.
It's the same thing for negative energy.
Yeah. Well, it wasn't even this dude wasn't even being negative. He was just he was gonna make me uncomfortable, and I was just gonna go along with what he was saying. You know, I mean, I think what it is.
Yeah.
I think that's what they do. Then you know, like really good con men will make you uncomfortable, and all of a sudden you're going along with what they're saying. And then you start justifying your actions, and then you're a part of it, and you start telling everybody else how great it is.
But a con man is great at what he does.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, this guy wasn't bad at it.
Yeah.
He just wasn't stand-up comedian ready. You know, stand-up. I've been a stand-up comedian for 23 years. If you're full of shit, I'm going to look you at you immediately and go, "Oh, look at this guy." It's very rare, unless someone's like a real sociopath. It's very rare that I don't think something's wrong immediately, socially, and even the sociopaths. They can't. There's a natural way of interacting with people that some people just don't possess. They don't possess that. Because they're fucking crazy. Yeah. And you can tell pretty quickly when you're talking to someone whether or not they have or have.
Whether they're not,
But how disturbing is it when you have friends that don't see that? And then you want... They
makes you reevaluate your friendships.
But it's not even that they're bad people. Just that, like, hey, knucklehead, you're in a cult. Do you understand you're in a cult?
I get that with the damn Amway, man. I get so upset when I find out a true friend is, like, selling Amway all of a sudden.
What is Amway exactly? Like, I don't even know. It's a pyramid scheme. Yeah. Is it?
Like, you're a good friend. Like, I trust you. You're a good friend. And here you are trying to sell me on something. Like, and I realize it's not that they were sold. I mean, they're totally blind to this right now. And I'm like, oh, my God. Like, you fell for this. Like, I feel really bad. And then, but it does make me reevaluate my friendship with this person.
I've had to talk John Heffron out of 4 or 5 different pyramid schemes. John Heffron will call you every other month for some new thing. Well, all I have to do is invest $20,000, and this is what other guys have gotten out of this.
It's yellow Windex.
He always has some new thing he's going to train. I'm going to train businesses how to write jokes. And they're going to make their own advertisement, and I'm going to do it all in-house. He's always got these wacky ideas. He's doing, you know, he's doing a lot of these shows where he does conference calls.
Yeah. Well, he doesn't – we haven't done a podcast in, I don't know, months. And then I asked him recently. He's like, yeah, I'm on the road for 17 weeks. And I'm like, are you
he's on the road for 17 weeks in a row. Oh, my God.
Does he come home at all? Probably a day, maybe, if at all.
Wow. Heffron's an animal.
Yeah.
He's a road animal.
Have you had an episode that you couldn't show for whatever reason? Like, was there an evidence scene, a body, or anything like that?
Yeah, we do get a lot of crime scene situations. I personally have not on the show. I mean, privately, we found a lot.
Right.
One of the other guys on there, he had one the other day that this guy, Corey Chalmers, who's also on Hoarders, and he went into a job, was cleaning the house, and they found... the lady's husband wrapped up in a he'd been dead for like 5 years.
And
she just didn't get around to calling the cops.
Jeez. Whoa!
But in her mind, in a hoarder's mind, that makes total sense.
Yeah.
Tomorrow I'm gonna call. Tomorrow I'm gonna do this.
Yeah.
And when I talk about that mental violence earlier, it's that mental violence. There's so much going on in their head that they can't. You know, I had a lady. She told me it was like her mind is a massive spreadsheet, Excel spreadsheet, and it's as many. As many columns and as many rows as it can go. And she goes, it's not that I can't let go of something. She goes, I have to check it off. And she starts back up at one. So the problem is she might get through 1,000 things in one day and only 600 of them got checked off. And this is all in her mind. But when she wakes up the next morning, she's got to start back at number one. And she's added another 5,000 things on the bottom of the spreadsheet. Her mind is working that hard. So for this lady that found, you know, her husband died, she wrapped him in a damn shower curtain. And she's like, okay, I better call.
Jesus Christ.
And I'm going to call. And I'm not, this is not bullshit. Like, this is real life, guys. Like, this is what happens in a hoarder's mind. And you don't see it in a half-hour show. Like, and this is why I'm so, I think it's fascinating. Like,
is there a medical term for what they're?
Fucking crazy, probably, is the term that most people use.
Fucking crazy.
They're not, and I hate that word crazy. They're not crazy. It's a mental disorder.
What are you talking about? They're fucking crazy. You just said it. Don't say that there's anything wrong with being crazy because I'm crazy.
I think we're all a little crazy, and that's one of the points I try to
push. Everyone that I like is crazy. Every single person that I like is crazy. That's a goddamn fact.
If you're not, you're boring as shit.
They're just nice. They're crazy and nice.
If you're not a little crazy, you haven't done anything. You're boring, and I have no value.
Try to tell me Joey Diaz isn't crazy. Try to tell me Duncan isn't crazy. Try to tell me you're not crazy, bitch.
All
crazy.
You guys.
I was crazy. Stuck me in the room. Kind of the walls 4 times.
You're 37 years old. You got a clock that makes cat noises.
I did see a cat clock over
there. Yeah, he's got a goddamn...
I've seen a few of those. 50,
there's 50 cats in front of you, too. There's cats. The logo is a cat here.
One of the old jokes. The old hoarder's joke is... I hate cats so much I won't eat pussy anymore.
Oh,
like, you just get so sick
rude.
Of it, man.
You just haven't had a good cat. Yeah. Good full bred.
Why do you hate cats so much? What is it?
The
about
smell,
it?
Man. The smell just.
Well, you're seeing the worst
yeah,
case scenarios, worst. You know?
Yeah,
you,
like, I'm associated with hoarders. I mean, cats.
Come to my house. My cat's nice.
Cats exemplify, for a hoarder, they exemplify easy love. It's the easiest way to get love. It's easier than investing in a human relationship.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And a cat is a survivor. Like, cats will scrap to any level. Like, they will not die. Like,
Jesus.
For a cat to die naturally, like, a human couldn't live.
Do cats eat other cats?
Absolutely. The minute a cat dies, the other guy's going to eat you.
Whoa.
Totally. So we'll find, like, a bunch of, like, their eyes are eating out and their intestines are all eating out. Cats are scavengers, man. They're just trying to eat.
Oh, my God. Yeah. So that's, like, common.
It changes it for you, yeah.
Woo!
Like, we had an animal expert tell me one time. She's like, you know when a cat's up there licking your face when you're asleep?
Mm-hmm.
It's literally waiting for your last breath. It doesn't love you. It's not there to hang out with you. It's there to fucking kill you.
How many people get eaten by their cats after they die? Is that, like,
good,
super common?
I'm sure there's a bunch. I don't know.
I bet it is pretty common, right?
Yeah. Someone look.
Dogs
bet,
also,
yeah.
though.
Dogs do that as well? They eat people when they die?
Yeah, absolutely. If a dog's left in an apartment with only you to eat, they're going
to
eat you.
Well, it goes back to my boy Ronnie. I mean, you got to do what you got to do to survive.
Right. Yeah.
Cats are going to do the same thing. Animals will do it. So are people, man. You got to do what you got to do. And when you're pushed to that limit, you got to do what you got
to
do.
Yeah, remind me not to piss that guy off.
Dude, you know what?
Fucking
people
stays in solitary for 5 years thinking about kicking a dude's ass.
I did Stern the other day, and he was like, man, you must be a really tough guy. And I was like, nope. My guys are. I'm not. I was like, I've never thrown a fist. I've never thrown a punch in my life, but I don't have to because I got some really tough dudes behind me.
If you're a douchebag, most of the time you're never going to have to hit anybody. If you're not a douchebag, rather.
One time
if you're a nice person, how often is it really going to come up?
I hope never.
Yeah. I mean, most likely.
I mean, someone else, my wife's going to fucking hit me before someone else
ready?
Gets a chance.
Does she throw?
She would, yeah. She's a tough girl. She's a very tough girl.
Now, you were in the ditch. You got beat up by this fucking guy. Now, how do you go from that to cleaning crazy people's houses up?
You'll laugh. For me, I wanted to – I really enjoy old people. I think their stories are fascinating. And so I actually wanted to start a senior relocation business, which is moving old ladies. And I was like, that'll be neat. You get to sit down with them, sort through their stuff, hear their stories. For me, it was the Greek thing.
Whoa. You were seeking out the stories of old ladies?
Yes, they're fascinating. Old ladies that, like, their husbands have died in the war. They never got remarried. They have all this cool shit. Their stories are fascinating.
Really?
Like, amazing. I always thought that'd be a cool podcast, just to have one old lady from a neighborhood each week to just come in.
That would depress the fuck out of
me. No, like, this one lady down the street from me, I was helping her clean her garage out. And her husband had died, and he had just died of Alzheimer's. It was really sad. And we start talking, and I realized she had a tattoo on her wrist, some numbers. Wow. And I was like,
she was in a concentration camp.
And I was like, do you mind me asking about that? And she's like, oh, sure. And she starts talking, and she clearly describes the dude. I mean, her husband, her father, it's ironic. Her father and her brother died in the concentration camps, but she met her husband there in a concentration camp.
Wow.
They get to America. They re-find each other in America. They have 50 years together, all that. He dies of Alzheimer's. And she said, I could pick out the guy, the U.S. soldier that opened the door to the box they were in. She goes, I can see the day we were saved. And it was about a 30-minute story explaining this guy. And she's the minute that I realized we were free. And, like, those stories to me are fucking amazing, right? Amazing. And then she was upset because her husband died from Alzheimer's. And she's like, I mean, this 80-year-old lady basically saying to me, fuck Alzheimer's. I mean, we beat Hitler and we beat everything. And now this damn disease takes my husband. And it was a very honest and very just fascinating moment.
Wow.
And so for me, like, I love shit like that. And so that's why I wanted to hang out with old ladies. Like, my generation, I ain't gonna have anything like that, man. Like, that's, I mean, she saw cars. She saw, like, you know, I mean, bathrooms.
Did she talk about that?
Yeah, she'll talk about anything. She was, if you ask, they will talk. But they're not gonna, they're not pretentious like us. They're not gonna tell you shit. If you ask, they will answer.
So when did you get into this hobby of talking to old ladies about their past?
Always. Always.
It's kind of trippy.
My grandpa always got. I mean,
it makes sense. Yeah. I mean,
I think they're fascinating. I think it's interesting. And I'm not a big reader. I like to listen. I'm a listener. That's why podcasts are so good for me. I love listening to stuff. I love fascinating stories. And I lived, actually, the first year out of college, I lived in my mom moved to England. So I lived in her apartment, and it was in a retirement community. So my first year out of college, I was the only dude under, like, 60.
Did any of them try to bang you?
One guy did, yeah.
A guy
no,
did?
I'm kidding.
How much did he pay you?
$100. $100. No, it was, you know, I...
So you went from that. From
well, I went and I tried.
And
yeah, and the thing was, yeah, in my town there was an old, there was a business that was very, very good at senior relocation, and I could never beat them. I couldn't compete against them. So for me, it was a totally a business decision. I went to this competitor, and I said, "What do you not do?" She goes, "We won't clean the messy ones." And I was like, "Well, that's what I'm going to do."
Whoa!
And so it was strictly I couldn't beat this woman in business, the lady that owned the bigger company. So I had to just do what she didn't do.
Wow! How clever are you? That's a pragmatic dude.
My grandpa was always, he just said, you find out what no one wants to do and then do that. And they'll pay you a lot of money.
Your grandfather and your father gave you the fucking worst advice
ever.
Man,
I think it's great
but
advice.
But it was great advice.
Yeah.
But they were like, listen, kid, you're not good looking. You fucking do what nobody else is willing to
you
do.
You know what? I'm glad I found that out at 14 and not at 44.
I know, but it's so
that's,
funny.
That's kind of broken to say to your son. Like you're going to be ugly, kid.
Listen, my jeans suck, so do yours. Let's
pretty
get
much.
Past that.
Pretty much.
That's rude.
He's like, it is what it is. Let's move on. Get on strategy on what you can do.
So do you have a lot of self-confidence issues because of this?
No, I'm very confident.
Yeah, he was telling you earlier, that's what his dad told him.
I mean,
him.
No, confident. About your looks, I'm saying.
Nah, you're not. If you're interested in my looks, you totally missed the point. Like, I'm not handsome.
Right there. You said you're not handsome. Why don't you think you're a very handsome man?
Well, thank you.
You're not a bad looking dude.
But I
you're
think,
not freakishly ugly.
No.
But
so
I
that's
think
what's
what
important.
I
that's all
do,
you need.
You look clean cut and nice.
Have a great personality and don't be freakishly ugly.
Yeah.
You'll be fine.
I did fine. I've never gone without a nice looking woman, and they were never attracted to my looks. They were attracted to my confidence and what I do. What I actually do
dude,
for
be in a
people.
Tom
with
Cruise
people.
Movie. He could be in Magnolia.
That guy's
he could
like,
be like one of the
like
guys
four
that
eight,
Tom
right?
Cruise created. I don't know how tall Tom Cruise is, but I hear that I'm like 5 foot two, so he might be bigger than that.
Well, you're. Let me tell you, you're a lot fucking bigger than I thought you were going to be.
Okay, that sounds weird.
No, that's not a lame way.
He's got thickness to it.
Because I'm so excited to see him, man.
There's like girth to that.
Yeah, I was really excited to talk to you, man. For sure,
is this,
this
the is stuff
like,
you. I mean, is this the kind of stuff you wanted to? I mean, I hope.
Oh, I mean, anything, man.
I get
mean,
blown
I'm
away.
I'm fascinated
by, this
by your past for sure. Mm-hmm. I love the stories of people feeling that they were going crazy and then pulling themselves out. I've been really lucky with my addictions in the past, but I certainly know that I'm susceptible. That's why I stay away from video games. I've never really
never
gambled.
Been video games.
The only thing I've ever gambled on was playing pool. And I was never good enough to win any money or to be like a threat, you know.
Yeah.
Like it was always
old
like
school
just
pool
fun.
Hall guys are dangerous, man.
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah. But I knew like what Jesus. What I'm saying is I knew what I was capable of. So I don't have a big enough ego to get roped in. One of the ways that guys get roped in is you'll play a guy and he'll barely lose to you, and then he'll start trying to raise the stakes, or he'll barely beat you, and you think that
you
got
think
lucky.
You're away, you're ahead,
yeah, and you think you can get back at him, and then he drags you into this deep water, and then all of a sudden he starts running out, and then he starts playing. Perfect pool, and you're like, what the fuck just happened? Oh, you just got hustled.
Well,
he pretended to be a certain level. Yeah. Really, he was much better than that.
I was always
real aware that I wasn't that good, so you couldn't do that to me. You know, I knew exactly how good I was at all times. It's
your
like,
bullshit
very
detector,
important.
Your bullshit detector is greater than your urge to gamble.
Well, yeah, yeah.
You got a better, you got a bigger high off of calling that guy out than you did off of beating them.
Well, yeah, not even just calling them out, just being aware that someone's busting moves.
Yeah.
You know, being aware that there's some fuckery is going down.
Yeah, but that's, I go back to the self-worth. Like, I think everything in life is about trying to get self-worth, trying to get attention, and like, what am I, me. And
right,
so
you
got more credit in your own head for calling that guy out and figuring out the situation than you would have for beating him.
Probably. I never thought of it that way. I always just thought of it as like a natural survival instinct.
Well, you know, I mean, it's, you know, like you could, I mean, like in a fight, I always say it's one thing to quit and it's another to strategically stop. If I'm fighting one of your buddies, you know, that's not quitting. That's strategically stopping. I know I'm going to die if I don't stop. If I just run away.
Well, the idea saying don't quit is really stupid because that means one guy's going to probably beat the other guy to death. Is that really necessary? I mean, how mad are you at somebody? I mean, I can understand if someone's trying to kill you and you're using self-defense, using martial arts, and you beat someone to death. I understand that. Some guy tries to rob you and he pulls a knife on you, and you get the knife away from that guy and you beat him to death. I'm with you. I'm on your side.
Yeah.
100%. But that's not what you want to do most of the time when you get in a fight with someone. You're just mad. You know, you don't want to beat anybody.
It's never
to
the
death.
Guy you're beating up.
Yeah.
It's someone
so
else
there's
you're
a good
at.
Time
yeah.
to there's a good time to stop and say you're sorry. And when a dude's fucking pounding on you, and that guy should
it's
let you
time.
Go, and you should say you're sorry, and that guy should let you go, and everybody should be cool about it. And that's how it should go down. you know, that's the correct way is to quit.
To me, it's always a balance of like, how do you get that self-worth that you give yourself credit for it?
Yeah.
And then you move on. And I don't know,
don't get in arguments where you're right, but the other guy can kick your ass.
Yeah. Oh, dude, you're totally right.
Don't get in those arguments, idiot. Man. That's not, especially if it, you think it might get physical. But I don't know. Human conflict, man. It would be a lot better if most people knew how to fight. It's like I feel I'm not a big fan of gun control, and I feel especially in this day and age that there are so many guns out there that for you to try to say that guns shouldn't be available for civilians to me seems preposterous. It seems to me that, you know, you can't control the population in periods of civil unrest. We know that's true. We know that you're saying that a family should be completely vulnerable in cases where things go terribly wrong, when home invasions and things along those lines. Fuck you. That's ridiculous. I'm not a big fan of that.
But you personally, do you have guns?
Yes. Yes, I have guns. Yeah. I'm also not a fan of shooting people. You know, I don't think you should go around killing people if you don't have to. But, you know, someone stepping in to tell you that you shouldn't have guns, you shouldn't be able to protect yourself.
Yeah, it's the, I think that's not having the right to do it.
Yeah.
And you could take that across anywhere.
Yeah, for sure.
I don't want to have an abortion, but I don't want to not have the right to either.
Exactly. You know
what I mean?
Well,
and not to get into that.
Are you preggers?
Yeah, I am preggers. It's been first try.
I don't even remember how we got on the subject of guns. What were we talking about when we got on the subject of guns? Well, it's just, it's a passionate issue.
Yeah, and I try not to get personal into politics
liberty.
Ever.
It's not even a politics thing to me. It's personal liberty. I am not a fan of anyone coming along and telling you what to do. As long as what you're doing is not hurting me and not fucking up the environment, you're not polluting the world, you know, you're not killing puppies. Go have fun.
That comes up in hoarding a lot. They're like, just leave me alone. I'm happy.
But
just let me be.
I'm happy chucking diapers.
Yep. I'm like, yeah, but I'm like, you live in, I just took 45,000 pounds of shit out of your house, your own shit. Like,
how do you weigh it like that? Do you put it
by
in
the
sacks?
Dumpster? Yeah, by the ton. It's by the. It's
oh
the,
my
in a dumpster.
God! Did you really pull off 45,000 pounds of human
yeah,
shit?
That's only 20 tons. I mean, that's
wow.
That's like what?
Dude, these people just don't like toilets. 45,000 pounds of human shit in a guy's house. That doesn't even make sense to me. Yeah. I'm not even registering that.
That's like three of these rooms full, like to
oh
the roof.
My God,
wow.
I mean, it's a lot of shit, though. I mean, think how you. Big your shit is,
oh
and
my
then
God.
How much of that would it take to fill it?
1,000 pounds. Yeah.
It's
of
years.
Shit.
I mean, it's commit. I always say it's commitment. It's 10 years.
What does that smell
years.
For the neighborhood?
It's a very. You smell it. I mean, it's a very citrusy. It's very orange.
It's
like orange chocolate. That's, you know, there's
is he got an orchard in his yard?
Yeah, it's
where
very
are these,
citrusy.
Like orange
this
chocolate.
Lemony
acid,
smell coming
the acid
from.
Acid breaks down to be more orangey, chocolatey.
That's
nutty.
Crazy.
Yeah.
For real?
For
are you
real.
Being,
swear
you being
to
serious?
God, I'm not fucking with you.
Orangey?
Yeah. No. Very citrusy.
So it doesn't even smell bad?
Not to me.
What?
You
I
like
mean,
it.
I, the urine is what throws me off. All the right. urine will urine. Just fucking kill anything. Bird shit is the worst.
Yeah.
Urate. They don't actually, it's not actually shit. It's like an acid. It's called urate.
Urate.
I had a lady that did she was a parrot hoarder.
Oh, God.
And that was disgusting.
Oh, my God. And a parrot hoarder.
That's
had,
dangerous.
This is,
you're like
a story.
This is a Coen yeah. Brothers movie, man.
Oh, man. I mean, I've seen it all, man. Like, and this was a great story because she had like 80, I think she had 86 birds.
Oh, my God.
And I had to take them, I had to transport them to a hotel for the vet to look at them. And so these are, I mean, this is her life, right? Fascinating woman. Like, we thought she was a bitch. Like, she was just so angry. And she loved these birds. To a point, her husband was in a wheelchair, and he couldn't. He was ready to come home from the hospital, but he couldn't come to the home because of all the stuff. And we're like, "What a bitch!" You know, like what a horrible person. And so the first night, we transport all the birds to the hotel. And I'm driving a U-Haul. I never forget. I'm driving a U-Haul through Seattle. Like this is 2 years ago. So the, I mean, I was still making $12 an hour cleaning up shit at home. And I'm like, I mean, I was like, I would. I think I did it for $500 the whole show, like a whole episode. And I was like, $500 is more than I've made in a year. You know, so I was so excited. Driving a U-Haul with 86 birds. I get to the vet, and I only have 84 birds. Two of them died in transport.
Oh, jeez.
And this lady, this is her life, right? Later, we found out as we cleaned more and more, she refused to talk to me. We have a therapist on set always to make sure that their mental health is just as strong as their physical health. And the more the therapist and I started talking, I was like, I don't think she likes men, period. And the more I found out, it turns out her husband beat the shit out of her. And that's why she had built this wall. She didn't want to clean the house up.
So he didn't. He was coming back from the hospital. She didn't want him.
She didn't want
him
coming because he's going to beat the shit out of her again. And so we were like, we're done. So we didn't clean the house. We left it messy for her. Because at that point, the worst thing we could do for her is clean her house.
Right.
And we really slowed down. drastically. We just clean the garage. Because I don't want to get them in the house.
Bummer when you see people completely fucked up, isn't it?
It's, I mean, it does make you feel better about your own life. I'll say that. You realize. And that's why people watch our show.
Yeah.
I mean, it's.
Well, people watch your show for the water cooler talk. You know?
Oh, it, yeah.
Sit around the water and you go, did you fucking see the cats? When you hear about 45,000 pounds of shit, do you actually show the shit?
You see me, yeah, you see me picking it up. Yeah, you see me shoveling it.
Shoveling human shit.
You show the dead cats with fucking holes in them.
But cats is one thing. You very rarely see human shit on TV.
Oh, they'll show. I mean, they'll show it smeared against the wall. There's one shot of me on the internet where I'm just sitting there, like pointing at a diaper, and there's shit smeared all behind the wall behind me. And I was like, "Wow, I can't believe they put that on there."
Oh my god!
And people posted it all over Facebook and everything.
Well, you guys are on A&E, right?
We're A&E Monday nights at 9.
A&E has it's cable, and cable's not subject to FCC regulations. A lot of people don't know that. You know, that's why shows like The Shield got away with being so crazy.
That's
like,
a good show.
And Louis C.K. show, it gets away with being so crazy. They're not really it's people think that only like HBO is allowed to swear. Really, cable's allowed to swear. They're not really regulated by the FCC because they're a pay service.
We edit out a lot on Hoarders, obviously. There's a lot of stuff we just don't show.
I'm sure. Would you like to show it?
Yeah, I mean, if it was my show, I would change it up a little bit. I would get more into the I mean, I would get into the, like, instead of showing a before and after, I would put a half hour on the decision to shit.
Making an hour show.
Whoa. Yeah,
like, let's really dig into how bad is your life. And don't sugarcoat that you got raped by your uncle. Like, just fucking say it. Like, I didn't know how bad physical and sexual abuse is in this country. Like, it's rampant still, man. I had no idea. And, like let's get into it. And, like, let's not. I mean, we show a lot.
That's what's the cause of all this
horrible
stuff?
A lot of time. If you see shit on the wall, they got raped as a kid. I mean, like, it's awful. Like, now I walk into a house, I'll be like, oh, who raped you, your uncle or your dad? Well, I did that one time, and the lady's like, oh, it was my uncle. How'd you know? And I was like, oh, fuck, that's real. Like,
wow.
I mean, it was a joke almost. It was a bad joke, but it was a joke.
That's how you crack jokes when you go over people's houses and stare at their smear
when
shit.
The girl,
who raped you?
Yeah, here's the deal. It's never, you're always taking a leap of faith with a rape joke, but I've found out that.
That's going to be someone's signature on a message board.
Oh, God.
You're always going
to
take a leap.
I'm always embarrassed when they post that stuff because A&E doesn't listen to the podcast. And so, like, someone will post that. You know, they'll post. It's always take a leap of faith on a rape joke.
Listen,
and I'm
all
just
they
praying
need to
that
listen to the podcast.
How do you deal with that on NBC?
I don't give a fuck.
You just don't give a shit.
I give it 100%.
Awesome.
I don't give a
That's
fuck
awesome.
Sauce. At this point, I am who I am. You know, if you don't know, what you're getting involved with. I'm a good person. I'm a nice guy. But I'm honest. Yeah.
Well, that's, I don't hold it back. I'm brutally honest. I am there to help them. I will do it in a different style.
Yeah.
I mean, I will always.
You should be able to say whatever you want on your message board, on a blog, on a video.
They definitely police it a little bit, but they're pretty good with me. They're pretty good to me.
Well, your stories are so fascinating. I mean, no one should put any restrictions on you. Yeah. You have the best intentions in mind.
Oh, I ended my day. I want to help you. I want to help someone, period.
But when you hear a guy like you talk about how there was one point in time you're thinking about sucking a dick for money, I mean, that's.
I ain't the first
guy
that thought that.
Of course you're not. Of course you're not. And it's important. Yeah. When someone meets a guy like you and sees you got your shit together, it's that's a good lesson for someone to learn.
My wife doesn't love that story.
Bet she doesn't. But hey, I mean, it's reality. It doesn't make you gay. It means you were fucking desperado. And
I think once you suck a dick, that makes you gay.
For sure?
Yeah. Yes. One time. I mean,
what if a guy sucks your dick? You think so?
I don't know.
There was a guy that came back from Iraq.
I've had a lot. I've had some women that were pretty awful that sucked my dick.
Really? They were like manly?
Just gross. Disgusting.
Disgusting. But they're still feminine. They still had double X chromosome. Right?
Yeah, but that's it. That's all. I mean, technically, they were.
So you're not proud of that? You would be more proud
of
that than a guy sucking your dick or no?
I mean, getting your dick sucked is getting your dick sucked. I mean, I'm not worried about
the case.
I'm never worried about the quality of the dick sucking when
really?
It's happened. No, I could give a shit.
I'm very concerned with the quality. Yeah. There's nothing worse than a horrible, horrendous.
Though, right?
No, I'm married.
Yeah, okay.
A horrendous blowjob is a terrible thing. No one should have to suffer through
that. I
don't
know that I've ever had it. Well, I did have one bad one.
How could you not have one bad one?
I had one bad one, and she was like,
"What kind of life are you living?"
And she thought it was like, she thought, "Man, not as good as."
If you haven't had one crazy blow, at least
I had one.
Shitty ones.
She was like, she thought she was great. Like, clearly, people had told her she was wonderful, and it was clearly not.
What was she
and
doing
she
wrong?
Was like, too much biting and
too much teeth. It's
all
about
teeth.
Too much teeth. Yeah. That's all it is.
Who likes teeth? Is there a guy out there that likes you to bite his dick?
But the second I feel teeth,
where is
it's
that
game over.
I always say, if you're thinking teeth, think finger in the asshole.
Yeah,
it's easier.
Fingernail in the asshole.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
when you go to your house, is your house what? Now like super? You,
trust me on that. Yeah.
Say that again.
Don't if you're out there and you're gonna suck some guy's dick, talking to the ladies,
right?
You,
ladies,
don't bite it.
Don't bite it.
Just play with his asshole instead.
Play with his asshole instead. Oh,
you'll be much
very uncomfortable.
Be much happier.
Fingernails.
I'm not asking
assholes?
You to do that. I'm saying I'm giving advice to the ladies.
That's what the lady. That's what you like.
You're yes, that's what I like. If you're giving me a blowjob, which you're not,
touch his butthole, please.
Touch my butthole.
Wow.
Touch his butthole.
There you
this
go.
Is amazing.
Now you know. Now you know. Homeboy's honest.
So when you go to your
A&E right now, the fucking
they're like, you're out. You're done.
Switchboards are lighting up.
Ding, 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 ding.
Do you know that Mac Paston, he's asking people to play with his butthole? Do you know that? He represents your network. Do you know that?
Hey, I bet you 18 of the 24 would prefer that.
18 to 24?
Yeah, the age demographic.
Is that the good age demographic?
Apparently, that's what it is.
I thought it's 18 to 49
80, 49
is where the money
yeah,
is, right? It's male. 18 to 49, they spend the most money. You know who spends the most money? Gay dudes. Most of them don't
Dinks.
Have kids.
Dinks.
Dinks do?
Dual income, no kids. That's what we call
them. Oh, that's what you call
Dinks.
Them?
Yeah, dual income, no kids. Ton of money, man. In marketing, that's what we call them.
Are you allowed to be...
That's not a derogatory mark. That's
gay,
a fact.
Do gay guys feel uncomfortable about that? Dink sounds like...
Gay guys don't care
it sounds
us.
Like
they're
twink.
Having a good time. Gay so guys can give a twink. Shit about the rest of the world. Gay guys are happy. They're enjoying their life. They don't care about what anybody else thinks.
That's a big generalization. I bet
it
there's
is.
A lot of gay guys with a gun in their mouth right now that disagree with you.
I actually have a lot of buddies that are gay, and they don't have time to think about us.
They're just out sucking dick. And
yeah, they're
having
fucking
a party.
Nailing it all day.
When you go to your house, is your house like spotless? Like, do you own like, yeah, like a spoon that's in a glass case and like
everybody asks
hand
that.
Sanitizers on every wall?
Right.
My wife and I were extremely just anal retentive, and then we have a 2 year old and a 5 month old, and I mean you can't control that. They just take over your house. I mean. I try to teach my kid to put the Legos in the right place and the books in the right place. And I had developed this whole system. It's bullshit. I mean, 2 year old is a 2 year old. He doesn't care. So I've just had to accept, like, I'm going to have kids and a messy house. It is what it is.
How do people who have kids become crazy germophobes? How is that even possible?
You're protecting.
I don't
when you
get
have,
it, man.
You have
I don't
kids.
Know.
Like, I Howie Mandel is a very nice guy. Yeah. Always liked Howie. I used to see him a lot in L.A. I'd always see him at a restaurant with John Mendoza. This is one restaurant they frequent at. Super nice guy. Like, couldn't be a nicer guy. But, you know, he's got that
he's
crazy,
got serious OCD,
crazy
serious
thing
OCD.
About cleaning his hands.
He can't even give you a fist bump, man.
He stopped giving fist bumps?
He doesn't do them anymore. He can't do them.
Wow.
I have a buddy that met him, and he said he was just he did the elbow.
Oh, my
and,
God.
Just,
he an
he's
elbow.
Just like, mm.
He used to give fist bumps. Mm-hmm. He's maybe,
can't shake a hand to save his life.
No, he won't shake a hand. Mm-hmm. Well, my friend was looking at his house, went to his house is for sale.
God, and great he, house. It's perfectly clean.
Yeah. And yeah, right. He didn't know that it was Howie Mandel's house. He didn't know. They didn't have any like family pictures on the wall. He opened up
big,
a closet. No.
Then he figured it out.
No, that was like a glove that he would put,
yeah,
over,
the big
his face.
Put over his face.
It wasn't big, though. It
looked like
a chicken. It was a
yeah.
balloon. He
yeah.
would blow it up with
he
his nose air.
Yeah.
You remember?
Yeah.
Well, he went into his closet, and it was filled with hand sanitizers, like a whole closet. And they
that'll
were like,
wear your skin down. And, yeah, that much alcohol.
And his
yeah.
wife goes, I stopped breathing for a second. It was like I'd seen something scary. Like I just looked at madness. I just went,
I mean,
and then they left. They're like, thank you, gotta go. Yeah, like, they knew they couldn't buy the
no
house.
No different from a hoarder's mentality, except they're so focused on the messy yeah. side, the OCD, and a lot of hoarding, believe
it
or not.
How do you cure a guy like Howie Mandel? What would
man.
You do?
You
don't.
You
he's
just
done.
Let him live his life, man.
Jesus Christ.
You would upset him so much by trying to change him.
By making him shake hands.
Just let him be, man.
Oh, my God.
He's fine. I mean, it's strange.
Well, his wife doesn't ever have to worry about him cheating. He's
no,
never going to go anywhere.
No, he never put his dick in anything.
No way.
Yeah. I saw him at Caesars. I saw him at Caesars.
He's never going to leave.
I mean, he worked a crowd like you wouldn't. He could always pull people from the whole audience,
mm-hmm.
and he'd get these callbacks from an hour ago.
Yeah,
you know, and he was just so.
Oh, he's hilarious.
God, he was good, man.
Dude,
I was
saw,
a kid. I mean, I was 24 when I saw this. I was blown away by him.
I saw Howie Mandel. I've seen him a bunch of his different specials, but I had one that I was passing around to a bunch of my friends when I was like, I guess I was probably like 19 or 20. I don't think I'd even started comedy yet, and Howie Mandel was hilarious. It was really funny.
How did you make that decision? I'm going to do comedy. Like what?
I got talked into it. I had a bunch of friends that I used to do martial arts with, and make them laugh in the locker room, stuff like that. And then
you were always funny.
Not really. I just would see funny shit. Like most of the time, I wasn't funny. But then when I would see something funny, it would be pretty funny. You know, I just, you know, I had it, when you're the type of person who's sort of anti-bullshit and you look for bullshit everywhere you go, and when you realize that someone's not calling this bullshit, you almost feel obligated to. You almost feel like you gotta, hey, what is this? And a lot of times when you do that, it's funny.
The truth
and
is
that,
funny.
Yeah, yeah, and that's what I realized early on. There were certain things that I would say that would get laughs because they were honest, and then I would play on it. You know?
I knew. I mean, I knew you from. I knew, of course, I knew you from Fear Factor, but I knew you from that radio. Was it Talk Radio?
News Radio. Yeah. Which,
by the way, if you think back on it, what amazing cast.
That was a great show.
Jesus Christ.
If there's anything that I've ever been like super lucky at in this life, there's a lot of things, but one of them was News Radio.
How old were you? I mean, that was...
I was 26, I think. God. It was when it first started. I think it was 25 or 26. Yeah, so maybe 27 at the latest.
I knew you
but
from
it was,
that.
Yeah. It was 1994.
God, it was a great show. That was a great
show. I had no acting experience other than a couple episodes of this other show that was on Fox. Then all of a sudden, I'm working with Phil Hartman. I remember sitting there at the
Foley.
Table read.
I mean, you just keep going through. Jesus.
Yeah. And Maura Tierney was such a good actress. Like, you'd be doing
scenes
with her.
She's the hot one that you
her.
Don't ever know her name?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. She would be doing scenes, and you would forget that you're in a scene. Like, you go, oh, you're acting. Like, whoa.
You just
like,
so
she was so good at it. She was so good at it. She could just... snap it on. She had like this intense like acting focus. It was pretty shocking.
So I heard you, I always saw you on that show. Then of course saw you on Fear Factor, then The Man Show, and like, you know, all of that stuff. And then
I'm good, dude.
I heard you one time randomly on Sirius. I was driving cross country, and it was I think it was Raw Dog, and it was one of your just bits about an old Texas oil tycoon.
Oh, Anna Nicole Smith.
Anna Nicole Smith. It was the funniest.
I
almost pissed myself.
There's a couple of bad versions
of
that
out there. It was so honest, though. But it was
so
honest.
If you find that on YouTube, no. It's on my CD. If you find it on YouTube, there's a shit version of it.
You should do a gold version of it. You should rewrite it.
I don't even know how it goes.
This was live, and you were just fucking going with it. And you were clearly... just the people in the audience were digging it, and so you just kept going more and more and more.
It was a crazy bit. It was a long one.
It was a good 20-minute story, and it was the funniest. I mean, I had never laughed so hard in a car ride, and that would have been like, holy shit.
You got to put that on it.
God, no, it's on my first CD.
Oh, it is?
Yeah, if you go to I'm Going to Be Dead Someday, is my first CD. It's on that one.
Oh. And I'm not trying to pump
you
up, but the point of it was the brutal honesty, because it was funny, because it was fucking true.
Yeah. Well, my point was, you know, people were like, oh, this poor guy, he's old and he's rich and she's going to take him for his money. And my point was like, don't you think he knows?
He's clearly aware.
He's
goddamn
90
right
years
he is.
Old. He made $1 billion from scratch. You know, chances are he's a tad crafty.
I'm dying with double D's in my face and I'm fine with it.
He was just having to do all this crazy shit to him before he died. It was fun. It was a fun bit.
That
was a Mitzi Shore hater bit. Mitzi Shore hated that bit. Mitzi Shore used to tell me, stop doing that.
That was the funniest thing. I mean,
Mitzi Shore used to hate dudes. When I used to do jokes about old men,
the girl
creepy
from...
old men, she's a woman who owned the Comedy Store.
Okay.
She would never.
Oh, well, Pauly Shore's mom.
Yeah.
Yeah,
she
would
tell me never to do those jokes. Stop doing that. There's that one and a bit about Hugh Hefner. She didn't like that one either.
You know, I've found like when I'll go to pitch A&E an idea about a new show or something.
Right.
And they're always, and like this one guy's is like, that's a horrible idea. Don't ever tell anyone that idea again.
Whoa.
And that's always the best idea I've found. Like if an executive says it sucks, go digital and do it because it'll fucking kill.
I had an idea once that I pitched over the phone and the guy actually like said, you're kidding, right? Did you waste my time with this? And I was like, wow. All right. I guess you didn't like my idea. I pitched over the phone. He was like, I have this idea for a show. It's just a silly idea. But it's a comedy. And it's about these girls that work at a bikini pizza place in the day called Pizza Sluts. And at night, they fight crime. And they're super hot chicks that are recruited by the police force and trained to infiltrate into areas where other cops could never get because people would never believe that these hot girls were actually secret
these
agents.
These sluts were actually secret agents.
Yeah.
Why did they have to work at the pizza place if they had a full-time job, though?
Well, because they had to have a cover,
it's
bro.
It's all part of their cover.
And you got to get a chance to see them in their underwear.
This is a smart comedy.
And fucking dude was mad at me.
This is Chuck.
I pitched it. The dude was mad. This is a long time ago, by the way. And the dude was mad at me. I was like, I think that would be a silly show. Like, you don't think there could be a ton of jokes
in
a show like that?
You'd get 2 million viewers.
just too many viewers.
It was
viewers.
Just completely over the top. Come on, man.
Have you ever pitched something just to fuck with somebody?
No.
Have you?
Waste time. Have you?
I do sometimes, yeah. Like,
really?
I mean, because this is not... At first, I make my money helping people, right? And I make my real money is made on speeches. Like, I go to do motivational speeches at colleges, teaching kids to get their shit together and stop being, basically it's a stop being a whiny little bitch
right.
speech. It's just this entitlement by college kids. And colleges really like me coming in. I do an hour speech and then a half hour Q&A. And then I'll do a live podcast. It's great. I mean, for me, that's amazing money. It changes our family's life, right? So now it's like, if I can do TV, great. If I don't, that's fine too. I'd like to do it, but like, I'll have an idea. I mean, I had an idea of hoarder road trip. I just wanted to take a bunch of hoarders in a Winnebago, take them cross country, and make them clean up someone else's house.
Oh, that's a good idea.
I think it'd be fascinating.
Yes.
Yeah, take them cross country, right? And at first it was a joke, but then the more I started pitching it, I was like, actually, Alex, I actually dig this. But the first time I was just trying to piss off the executive because he had sat on my pilot for a year. And so I was just mad at him.
He sat on a pilot?
Yeah, I've done two pilots, and I didn't realize this is – everyone's done 10 pilots. It is what it is. Don't worry about it. I was devastated because my first pilot didn't make show.
Really?
And yeah, I was devastated. Devastated. I was like, this is going to – I mean, I really – I put all my eggs in that basket, and I was just – emotionally, and I was like, this is so important that I get this show. And by the time the network and the production company and everybody got done with it, it was a shitty show, and I didn't want to do it. And I was like praying that it wouldn't get picked up. But then when it didn't get picked up, I got all upset. I got personal with it, and I've learned now it is what it is. It's just business.
It's really hard to be on a show and watch it fall apart because too many people have their input and
I had no input.
Yeah.
You know, and it was like, my name's on this, my company's name is on this, and it doesn't. And it, I mean, I,
well, executive always think they always think that they have a way to tweak it and to make it better.
I'm not,
make it
more accessible. I'm not saying I'm brilliant or anything. I was personally upset.
I think that, you know, the collaborative effort, like a real, true, creative collaborative effort, only works with people who respect each other creatively, like people who actually are proven to be creative. In order to bring someone like an executive into a creative meeting, like, are you a creative person? Do you write a lot? Yeah. I mean, are you going to have good ideas, or is this like an ego bullshit thing here?
And a lot
you
of times
put
it is.
Your greasy fingerprints on this and add your little ingredients to the soup. That's what a lot of it is.
And with hoarders, there's no writing. I mean, we turn the cameras on and shit happens.
Yeah.
And that's it. It's pretty easy.
Is it your show?
I'm just a talent on that.
How many different dudes are hoarder cleaners?
We've got, there's two really left. I mean, there's a lot of people that try to do it, but.
And it's like a hit show, right?
Oh, yeah. I say I'm the number one trash man in the country. I mean,
and A&E has no problem with you doing all your other stuff, or they just don't know?
They never even signed me to contract. I'm not even on a contract.
You're not on a contract?
Mm-hmm. I'm week to week.
Whoa.
It's crazy.
That's got to be annoying.
And I'm the number one guy on, you know, their number two show. It amazes me. I'm fine. I don't want a contract now. Like, if I was on a contract, I couldn't come do this. Like, you said it best the other day on your podcast. You go, I'm doing what I should be doing. You're doing it right now. And I'm there, man. My podcast, I wrote a book, had a great run with my book. I'm helping a lot of families with my book. It's called Secret Lives of Hoarders.
So you're just happy to keep moving
I'm
in
happy
a positive
to work,
direction
man.
And keep working.
I clean up shit for $12 an hour. I'm happy to be working, period. Like, I'm lucky to have work. I can afford all my groceries and my mortgage in the same month. I'm lucky. Like, that's awesome. So if I ever get pretentious or think I'm fancy. I mean, kick me in the nuts, you know?
You want to talk about a job that must keep you grounded in like, the possibilities of reality. Not necessarily your reality, but the possibilities.
That's what we hang with five decisions away. Because, back to it, we didn't even finish it. That bum sitting in the yard, I asked him how he got there. And he goes, I was a stockbroker. And I was like, get out of here.
Whoa.
And I'm like, either he's full of shit or this is real. So I went with it, you know? And I was like, what do you mean you were stuck? He goes, I was a stockbroker and a girl broke my heart. And I go, you're telling me you're living in this guy's yard because a girl broke your heart? He goes, well, I got addicted to crack too, but the girl broke my heart. And I was like, yeah, the crack might have something to do with it.
Yeah.
But he lived in a fucking shack. And so I looked at the camera and I go, I guess we are all really five decisions away from shitting in a bucket.
Yeah.
Wow.
And that just stuck. And when I said that, people ran with it. And I'm clearly, I've had many five decisions away from shitting in a bucket. I mean, a couple things different happened, and my life could have been totally different.
Yeah, it might not even be five.
It could be one, it's a bad one.
I mean, I've peed in Mountain Dew cans, so in my car.
Car.
So that's
But that's just to skip the exit.
I missed once, and I was trying to get my dick into the hole, but of course I have a very fat head. It's very dominant.
And your hole is huge.
The Mountain Dew Big Mouth?
The hole, it wasn't a Mountain Dew, actually. It was a Pepsi bottle, and I was trying to get it in there, and I fucking sprayed, because I was kind of holding it back, and then I sprayed it all over my fucking pants. I pissed all over my leg, dude, before I finally got it going in the bottle. This is only a year ago, by the way.
I shit myself the other day.
This is like this a couple weeks ago.
15, oh. First year driving. No, it was a year ago.
I didn't tell you about this. I fucking shit myself the other day. Well, I did one of those farts where I'm working, and it started. Just went like boop, like that.
Oh,
and
no.
But I thought it felt like a fart. And then I reached down and just to like itch my ass, and it was really wet and creamy, and I pulled out and it was just... baby diaper shit all over my
what?
Hands.
Like, wait a minute. You reached volume? Down to claw at your ass.
Like, I went to itch my asshole, jeez, you know?
You went to itch your asshole?
Yeah. I'm with him on that,
yeah,
yes.
Yeah, and then I
you
pulled
itch
out my...
your raw asshole on a regular basis and then just go around touching
once
your keyboard, your mouse.
Never,
no,
never
no,
itch. Never itch from the inside. Yeah, always itch from the outside.
I'm
never touching your fucking doorknob again.
No. I'm not talking like I went like deep into my asshole. Like, I was talking like right above my asshole. Like a little
itch. It was creamy shit all over.
It was creamy shit everywhere.
I don't believe you just dabbed over the top. I think he goes right
in. No, I don't. Why would I do that? That's disgusting. But it was right. So bad and I didn't even know.
Wow, you got a numb ass. You got a problem.
Do you think it's mostly
you're getting raped by ghosts in the night?
No, but do you think when this shit happens, do you think it's because like you're trying to force a fart out so bad?
Because
I feel like if I just don't, I try to force farts out. I try to make them loud as possible and fast as possible.
I had a thing about this. I always said like when most 9 out of 10 times. Your asshole has your back.
Right.
It'll back you up, and it'll say, no, it's a fart. You know, the last second, that's shit, and it catches it.
Right.
And I was like, I wish your asshole would do that, like, in other parts of your life.
Right.
You know, like, when you're going to fuck the fat girl at 3 o'clock
right,
in the morning,
right.
And your asshole's like, hold on a second, buddy, wait.
I wish.
Know?
Your asshole can't hold back the liquid. That's what I find. When it's liquid and you feel that, oh, it's coming too fast. You know, your asshole sends alarms up.
Yeah, this was liquid.
What's this?
Yeah.
Yeah. Your diet, could, probably.
But that's the first time in 3 years maybe that's happened.
Since I've been drinking these kale shakes on a regular basis,
right.
I've never had
kale
more.
Shakes?
Yeah.
Jesus.
You know what?
Kale by itself will fucking just destroy you.
Yeah.
It's really good for you.
Yeah. Oh, I know.
Yeah. Super. It there's a Vitamix. I throw cucumbers, kale, celery, one pear, a big chunk of ginger, and four
good
or five cloves
Lord.
Of garlic.
Fuck
you're gonna,
that.
I mean, you're going to lose 5 pounds a day of shit.
No.
Yeah.
To
yeah.
clean
same
out your stomach.
Exact way. But you feel great.
You do?
Yeah. Oh, man. It feels like...
I'm talking the wrong... I'm saying I've been talking to Montel about helping me out with shakes and stuff just trying to get healthy. I'm talking the wrong
well,
guy.
Well, Kevin James turned me on to it. He lost 80 pounds. And he was explaining to me his book that he bought. He had this lady working for him as a chef for a while. And the idea was it was just like really nutrient-rich, plant-based foods blended up together. That would be like your first meal a day, and just doing that, it keeps like your digestive tract like really smooth, because essentially like it's like it's a flush out, it like cleans
regularity
out
is a very important
way.
Thing people yeah. don't realize yeah
well yeah I mean it's you're not supposed to be keeping shit inside your body, you know.
Well,
and you can if you have a bad diet.
I mean my job, probably half of my job is looking at what comes out of a person that doesn't eat healthily.
That's a fetish of yours, though. I'm
poop
starting to think.
Poop is a big part of my life.
I think it's
it is
a fetish.
What it is. Poop is a part of my life, man. It
you
is
like
what it
fingers
is.
In your ass.
Well,
that's
you
separate.
Like
I just like
scribe.
I just like a finger in my ass. That has nothing to
do
with
do you like
my
German
job.
Porn?
No. I like... I probably shouldn't go into that.
Oh.
You know,
I'm with you. I don't like a skinny
image.
Girl. I like some weight on my girl. That's
yeah.
all I'm saying.
Yeah, the fatter ones are usually more fun for by sure.
It's stream mate. That's
definitely.
What I do. BBWs. You just go through the top 10, and it's beautiful.
10 pounds heavy is way better than 10 pounds too light.
Absolutely.
Well, I'm talking about BBWs.
Right?
I'm talking about. Oh yeah, but I agree with that.
What is BBW? Definitely.
Big beautiful women.
Oh, okay.
Cheers.
Cheers.
Yeah, women don't understand that. Like
oh,
a little
man.
Fat is sexy.
Skinny's gross.
It doesn't bother me at all. You yeah. know? As long as you're not unhealthy.
Skinny
a little
girls,
fat is kind of sexy.
Skinny girls don't look that good naked.
No. No, they don't.
A
like
thicker
bony
girl
and
looks beautiful.
It's more skin
beautiful.
To play with. It feels
yeah.
like you're on... Would you rather have a king-size pool or a little baby pool?
This is a horrible topic. I'm going to bring it up anyway.
No, you're just talking to Brian. Yeah. That's the problem.
My,
it could be a great topic.
My wife and I had a... My wife's really big into natural birth. We had a natural birth.
Whoa.
Our sons.
I make fun of you guys.
Yeah, you know what? It was awesome. And most people do. It's fine. We actually had him in our bedroom at home. It was amazing. Most people think it's crazy.
Mm-hmm.
And for my wife, like that was her Iron Man. Like she really wanted that.
Wow, that's
that.
Her
so
triathlon.
She did it. Yeah, it's her. And it was really cool. And I dug it.
Wow.
The subsequent argument was... Do you circumcise the kid or not? Because all her natural... I mean, it's really a hippie world, and I'm not into the whole hippiness of the world. I enjoyed the process of natural birth, but I'm not into the whole hippie lifestyle part of it.
Right.
And all of her friends, they didn't circumcise their kids. And I was like, I'm not about to send my kid to gym class in a very a world where everyone gets circumcised.
With a pink sock.
Yeah.
I think
yeah.
that's changing.
It is. Apparently it's 50-50 now. It's 50-50 now. I think it's stupid. Now.
I wouldn't circumcise a kid. If I had a boy, I wouldn't circumcise
well,
him.
Well, apparently,
stupid.
The point of the conversation was, the girls, all the wives start arguing. We start talking. Three of the wives guaranteed, they were like, sex with a dude that is not circumcised is substantially better than a dude that is. And then all these girls were like, oh, that's true. That's true. That's
why?
True.
Why?
I don't know. More skin, apparently. Back to the...
Wow.
Just like we talk about the ladies.
Substantially better.
And they all were like, absolutely.
Tubes
like, it wasn't like
the
they
woman?
Were being nice for the woman.
Wow, I've never even heard that before.
Yeah, I mean, that's why I was so interested by it. I was like, wow.
I got robbed. My
I don't, even with
sliced...
Me, yeah. Even if I wasn't circumcised, I don't think it would make a difference with me. But
I think it's a fucking gross tradition, man. Somebody said it helps prevent AIDS. I'm like, what, are you keeping AIDS in your foreskin? Like, what's going on? How is that? That doesn't make any sense to me. That seems to me exposure to AIDS. Lack of exposure is how you prevent AIDS, not like foreskin chopping off.
I will
say
it was purely cosmetic for us.
Yeah.
But I enforced it. I was like, we're absolutely doing it. We're not going to have one kid that is and one kid that isn't.
Oh,
wow.
You
got to keep it consistent.
Jesus Christ.
Like, I mean, why does my brother look different than me? You know,
whoa.
Like, you know?
But I like to fuck Jewish women, so I'm definitely happy.
Circumcised?
Yeah.
Yeah. All right, whatever you like, freak.
Jewish women freak out about that shit.
It's a weird fucking tradition that we need to end. It's just, you're cutting. And not only that, but
it's like 50-50
people get like really bad infections. It's not completely innocuous. Kids have lost their penises because of circumcisions. It's not common.
My nephew had to go back for a second operation because of that. And they had to put him under at the age of a year or something like that.
Oh, my God.
He's going to love you telling that story.
Oh, my God. Yeah, man. For what? To dress up his dick with a knife?
We should start some kind of nonprofit.
It's a dick. It's not a jack-o'-lantern, all right? You don't have to chop parts off of it to make it look better. That's stupid.
Save the penis.
You should save the penis in a jar and wear it as a necklace.
I mean, what kind of tests have actually been done that show that there's some sort of a health benefit to circumcision? Have there been any?
There has to be.
It's probably a medical. It's a medical.
A Christian school probably did the research.
Really?
I'm sure it's a medical. There's a... I mean, it costs $4,000. I'll tell you that.
That's how much you had to pay?
Yeah.
You didn't have like an old Jewish dude suck the blood off of it afterwards,
did
you?
We did not have a breast, no.
Mm. Isn't that amazing that they actually still do it that way some
do
places?
They really do
yeah,
that?
A guy will suck the blood off. And, you know, and he was explaining it on a YouTube video. And it was like a serious, yeah. What is the word? Orthodox Jew.
Yeah.
And he was saying that it's an ancient tradition because the blood actually coagulates better because of the saliva. It stops the bleeding quicker.
I just spit on that penis.
Yeah, whatever, man. Jesus
You know
Christ.
What? That's where I go back to. I wouldn't have that on my kid, but if that's your thing, that's your thing. I support you.
Right.
Decrease in fit. Here's one of the problems, one of the benefits. Decrease in physical problems involving a tight foreskin. Yeah, that means... Because you got no foreskin, you fuck. That's the dumbest benefit I've ever had, and that's the first benefit they listed.
The benefit
a decrease in physical problems involving a tight foreskin. Well, you know
well,
how
yeah,
a lot
of
kids
of
are running around complaining about tight foreskins.
It's definitely
problem.
More. Isn't it more susceptible to disease because there's more? It's like you're having an extra belly button on your dick.
Well, I would. Yeah, I don't know. I mean,
that shit's got to get dirtier.
You mean when it's
there
when
is,
it's
I know
over
there's
there.
Dick lint.
When
there is dick
well, you have
lint.
To
there
clean
is dick
it.
Lint?
Yeah, there is dick lint. I've been told.
What's it
you
taste
have to
like?
Clean it. Well, I think it's also like moist. I think that to the head of the penis underneath the foreskin is moist and much more sensitive. When you circumcise it, it dries out. It's like half numb.
It's got to be moldy.
I mean, think every time. Disease.
Lower incidence of inflammation of the head of the penis, whatever. Reduced urinary tract infections. Okay, that kind of makes sense. Clean your dirty dick. That could fix all that. Fewer problems with erections, especially at puberty. Huh.
Why is there a problem with an erection?
Why? Yeah, that doesn't mean.
I've never
at
been
puberty.
A problem in my life.
If you were problems
because it looks
erections.
So creepy.
What does that mean by problems? You know what that means? That means he's getting erections all the time.
That's
because
a good
I've
thing.
I've heard
yeah.
that happens to people that are circumcised. Like when you pull the skin back, like they get excited like really easily.
Yeah.
Apparently, it doesn't have. It's much more sensitive.
Dude, yeah. if the wind blows,
isn't that
I
funny
get excited.
Though? That's a
yeah.
listed as a benefit.
That's not.
Fewer problems with erections, especially at puberty. When you write especially at puberty, I'm assuming you don't want kids to fuck at 13. So I'm thinking you're saying these are unwanted yeah. erections.
So
you know,
some old dude wrote this. Some old woman or old dude wrote
but,
this.
So they're saying we've yeah. made your penis feel less good, so you don't have as many problems with it feeling good.
Well, back to my point. These women were saying apparently it feels better.
Decrease in certain sexually transmitted diseases. Such as HIV, HPV, genital herpes, syphilis, and other microorganisms in men and their partners. A decrease. Okay. What? I don't know. Yeah. Why is that? Is that
there's
that real?
More skin?
How do you know?
There's more. There's more shit. Do you have holes and people, scrapes on?
Yeah. Almost complete elimination of invasive penile cancer. Oh, that's a good reason. Invasive penile cancer.
What's that? Internal. It sounds like. I don't know.
Invasive. I think it's just bad. Decreasing urological.
I think all penile cancer would be bad.
Yeah, I would imagine.
Have you got the 40-year-old tube in the penis hole yet? My dad told me when he turned 45 or something like that, he had to get this done.
Apparently, your dick crawls back. it runs away from the tube.
Really?
When they're trying to get it in, my buddy was telling me about it. they said basically, and a lot of my buddies and I, we all did a bunch of Ironmans. And
triathlons?
Yeah, triathlons. Really? And the worst, like an Ironman dick, like it takes 2 days for your dick to come back out of your stomach
after an
Ironman. Like you'll never see it. Because you're on a bike running and swimming for like 10, 12 hours. And you literally, like after the Ironman, you're up against the wall and you're just peeing out of your stomach. Like it takes a good 2 days for your dick to come
back out.
That's
so weird.
Wow.
It's awesome. I mean, I never did a full.
Is that like really bad for your balls? All that pressure? So. I've heard guys get like numbness.
You
and
get
shit.
Really bad blisters. You got to use cow udder, what they put on in cow's udders.
What
you
is
put
that?
On your, it's like a salve that you put on your balls.
You put it on your balls so you don't get blisters.
You get really bad blisters, yeah. Ball blisters are awful.
Jesus. Hey, Brian, pull up a YouTube video. Rabbi explains the process of sucking blood from penis.
It's
on YouTube.
That's a bit aggressive, I think.
Yeah, what the fuck? This is from 2011, too.
What's it called? Rabbi
explains the process of sucking blood. Just look for that on YouTube, and you'll find it. From penis, if you want to put from the penis. That's the guy, yeah. You got to take a leak?
Yeah,
go ahead. Yes, perfect.
I'm about to die.
4 sections of halacha called the Shulchan Aruch, the set table, in chapter 266... Halacha 3, 4, 5, and 6, he describes how the circumcision is to be done. He says, after the cutting, the mohel does what is called mitzitza, and mitzitza means to suck, and it means doing so with his mouth. And one could say, well, why can't you use a tube? Well, you could, technically, but it's not the custom as to why how it was done. Now, why is it that way? Well, you could say that in the olden days you didn't have tubes. Now you can have tubes, so why not? The answer, as I thought about it, is that it's not as effective because the tube does not seal as well. It's not as pliable. And furthermore, it's not as quick and it's not as close. You have to have a quick suction action. You have to have more pliability. And also, there's the theory, some people feel that it is, some people feel that it's not, that the saliva of a human being has some antiseptic qualities. And it's actually brought in the halacha of the Talmud that the saliva of certain people were actually used as curatives. And so saliva is not a bad thing. Saliva has elements of...
Shut this crazy asshole off. Jesus Christ. This is one of the things that's really wrong with religion. When they get into tradition... And they just explain, well, it is the tradition. You're talking about blowing a baby, period. That's what you're talking about. If there's anything in your religion that justifies blowing a baby, you're fucking crazy. And sucking blood off a baby's dick after you've cut it. Yeah.
The only thing I could think of as the other side of this is that, I mean, my sister took my nephew to a doctor, high-end hospital. These are doctors going to college, and they fucked it up. How many, how many times did these guys do it?
These guys fuck it up, too. In fact,
did they do it a lot?
Someone killed a baby recently.
Killed a baby?
Yes, a baby died in a New York hospital after contracting herpes from a controversial circumcision ritual. The mohel, or whatever the fuck he calls himself, the rabbi, whoever, who does that, sucked the baby's dick after he did the circumcision, and he had herpes in his mouth.
Wow.
And he gave it to the baby, and the baby died.
That's crazy. Well, you can get
this
herpes.
This is from 2012. This is March 6th.
This is not 88.
This is March 6th, 2012. Jesus. It's in the Huffington Post. You can read this. And by the way, this is not the first time this has happened. This has happened many times in the past. I've heard about it. Another one in 2005. It says it right here. Another one in 2005. 2004. Look, it's disgusting. If your religion is allowing you to blow babies, cut their dicks, and then suck them, that's not good. Period. I don't give a fuck if it's in the tradition. And what would you do with the tradition? Shut your mouth, you stupid tradition, you crazy asshole. Just because something's old doesn't mean it's good. And that's just the following that tradition. That is the best argument. One of the best arguments, next to like suicide bombers. One of the best arguments ever for your religion being fucking crazy.
Well, its tradition is never a good argument.
Right.
Yeah. Why do we do it? It's the tradition,
I grew up in Virginia.
Antiseptic properties? You know what else has antiseptic properties?
There's a lot of things that are tradition in Virginia that are not.
You missed the whole thing while you went to the bathroom. This guy is this old rabbi talking about blowing kids after he circumcised them.
That's why I missed it.
Yeah.
Thank you.
He was talking about why don't we use a tube? Well, because first of all, it's the tradition. It's the tradition.
Come to my website and have a gold show.
It's the tradition. What, you crazy asshole? And saliva has antiseptic properties. You know what else has antiseptic properties? Ready? Antiseptics. You fucking cunt.
Saliva,
crazy asshole.
Saliva is actually a very good cleaner, believe.
Except
that.
When you get herpes in your mouth,
not on
and
a
you
dick,
kill the
but
baby.
Yeah.
Nutty ass rabbi. Jesus Christ. So now. What is the single? You've seen pretty much
everything
a person could possibly see inside these houses. But there must be one day where you showed up at work and you went, this shit just got taken to the next level.
It haunts
everything
you.
Accelerates.
Yeah, it's a tie.
Yes.
I saw a cat actually pull itself out of a pile of human shit. It when you're trying to get out of the pool and you're pulling it. This cat was pulling itself out of a pile of shit. I just thought that was awesome. Like, it wasn't gross. It was just, it was intense. The worst ever was I had a cat. There's a house that had a lot of cats. For people that are listening and actually know the show Hoarders, her name was Viola. She's a cool lady. She's become a good friend 3 years later. But at the time, she wasn't.
Is she cured now?
She's dealing with it. I don't think you're ever cured. I'm just like with my gambling. I'm always going to have an itch every once
but
in a while.
But she's like lives in a
she's
normal
lives in a
house.
Clean house. She cleaned her. We cleaned her house. She stayed committed. She did the therapy. Her family stays with her. So, one of the key components to recovery is that your family is very committed to the recovery as well. It's like her kids keep her busy. Like, she can't go to Goodwill. If she goes to Goodwill, she'll spend. She's just like me at a blackjack table. If she goes to Goodwill, she'll go crazy.
Have you heard of Ibogaine?
What is that?
We had this guy on yesterday who had just got back from an Ibogaine ceremony in Costa Rica. And what Ibogaine is this crazy psychedelic drug that makes you look at yourself from a very, what's the best way to look at it? Out like a very critical, highly critical, honest view of your life from outside of your emotions and your ego. And it's apparently this very informative psychedelic experience. You can actually ask it questions. The whole experience takes like 24 hours. But it has a really high success rate on curing people with all sorts of diseases, especially addictions, gambling addictions, drug addictions. People that are hooked on opiates have a huge rate of success.
Yeah, that's a different level. I don't ever want to act like I'm this badass that overcame this massive thing.
Oh, you for sure did, dude. You just did it with your own will and your personality. I'm saying. What I'm saying is, have you? I wonder, like a really good show would be combining.
We're open to anything, man.
Yeah.
The cool thing is, this is a new disease. It's not like alcoholism where there's this like set specific way. This is what you must do to overcome it.
How long has it been around for?
Well, it's been around since, hunter and gathering. It's been around since the day one. But it's just, our show just blew the doors off it. And people are just accepting the fact that their Aunt Gladys is actually a hoarder. She's not just crazy. Like, we're just really still, it's actually just getting, it's now just getting classified. Man, this was my second hoard. This was a great guy. I got sprayed by a skunk in this house.
Oh, my God.
I thought it was a cat, and I went to pick it up, and it was a skunk.
There was a skunk in the house.
In the garage. There were like 100 cats, and I just stopped counting, and then I got hit by a skunk.
Oh, my God.
That was a crazy one.
We have a friend that has 11 cats in one house in a two-bedroom apartment. You think that's normal?
Here's my deal on cats. You need to have as many cats. You can't have any more cats than you have friends. If you have more cats than you have friends, we got an issue.
Well, he has a lot of friends.
Then he's fine.
But is it okay in a two bedroom apartment?
To me, that's a bit much, honestly. But if he's cool with it, he's cool. I mean, if it doesn't mess up your life, the cross line for me is when your hoard, whatever that hoard is, whatever you're collecting or keeping, when it crosses over and it becomes more important than your friends and your family and your job, then you got a problem.
Right.
It could be. I mean, I had a lot of friends in the Iron Man world that. I think they have issues, man. Like, they're so addicted to the race and to the fitness level that it's affecting the rest of their life. They don't have normal relationships with anyone else in their life. Like, they're so focused on the triathlon that I think it's too much. I think you could see that.
You have to be successful.
Yeah, that's a tough one. I mean, yeah.
The amount of training those guys have to go through.
Yeah, but you don't have to win. You could be, like, 100th. You still finished a fucking Ironman.
What kind of pussy
like,
talk
who cares?
Is that?
I'm not.
That's
I don't,
not what they think if they want to win, though. What if they're close?
They a lot of Mark. I don't give a shit about winning. I'm a finisher guy. Like, I'm the guy. Like, I used to hate the old guys that played golf that were like, I'm just happy to be outside. I'm totally that guy now. I'm just happy to be outside.
Well,
and it's a good day. I'm
there's
fine
a
with
lure
it.
Of success, you know, especially success.
Well,
in
I have
games.
Success in other parts of my life. I don't need that success.
Right.
I keep saying it every day. I get, you know, 50 emails of people that I've helped. They've either seen the show or read my book or listened to a podcast. So I start the morning. By 9 a.m., I've already told myself I'm successful today.
That's
good.
Beautiful.
And so I'm lucky. Like, I don't need.
Well, you've put it all. You've put your obsession into a good place. I think this is a really good lesson for people. Yeah. You know,
my speeches is called 14 Years of Failure. I failed for 14 years. I'm just starting to get successful this year.
You are also. What you've done that's admirable is sort of recognize where you were fucking up and just stopped it. You know, that's really difficult for a lot of people to even wrap their head around it, especially without going through like some really extensive therapy.
I'm old school, man. If you stop lying to yourself, it gets a lot easier.
Right.
I lied to myself for
a
year after year.
But a lot of people don't figure that out.
Yeah, I'm telling you right now, people listening, stop lying to yourself.
Well, I mean, I'm saying you did. You figured that out. A lot of people.
Well, a guy beating the fuck out of you.
Is that what it was? That guy beat
absolutely.
You up? He helped you?
And then
you?
My mom saying no. My mom saying no was, I even thought I was still unstoppable. Until my mom said, you're on your own. You find a legal way out of this.
It's really fascinating.
When my mom said no, it was like, oh, shit.
It's because
life's changing. I'm on my own.
That thrill-seeking charge that you get from placing bets, you know, it's really just sort of a desire to be successful. You're trying to win. You're not trying to gamble. You're trying to win.
It has nothing to do with gambling. Yeah. Hoarding has nothing to do with stuff.
Right.
It's about that desire. It's about that self-worth. It's about that... That giving yourself, you know, you we're all so needy, and this is where people get tired of me. They're like, "You're like this some awful, you know, mentalist." I believe
an awful mentalist. Why would they?
I
say
mean,
that?
People think I get a little preachy, and I guess I do.
Well, listen, you're saying your story passionately, and your
absolutely
story is a story that should be preached. I mean, if there's a story that should be preached, it's
I don't
a
know
guy who's ready
to
suck
it.
A dick for money,
yeah.
And now all of a sudden he's on TV and he's doing great, and he's helping people and he's helping inmates, you know, get their shit together. That's all beautiful.
But when you
look at that on the TV,
there it is. That was that was a flat cat. That was a flat cat. He actually was on a box, so he was he was a 90 degree angle. There he is. There's a skunk.
Oh Jesus Christ!
Oh, the skunk.
That skunk
ridiculous.
Blasted you?
Yeah, he just fucking sprayed me. Clearly, that's a while back. I'm a little lighter.
Oh my God! This is crazy. This is crazy.
That whole room was 6 feet higher about 8 hours earlier.
Oh,
number six. This is just the head.
Oh my God! Another cat. Now, do these people get in trouble with like animal protection?
Animal protection called us into this one. This was in New Mexico, and
Jesus Christ, 35.
She thought
cats.
She had like 10 cats. She didn't know how many she had.
So they all starved to death out there.
Yeah, most. I mean, we always say triple it. If the person says I have
100 cats.
I have 10 cats. Well, if they say they have 100 cats, they have 300 cats. Like, they don't know the rates that cats can reproduce, and so they never see the babies.
So the cats are fucking and breeding.
They're
in
like
the house.
Rabbits.
Who's
man.
Feeding them?
They feed on each other. Whoever dies, they. It's. I mean, it's.
Jesus Christ!
Yeah.
So they're just babies are eating
absolutely.
Guts.
Whatever one. It's total natural selection.
Oh my God! That
whoever
is incredible.
And it's all underneath 8 feet of stuff, so you don't see it.
God, that
and if
is
you don't see it, insanity. It's not a problem. This is my very first one. Favorite guy ever.
Why?
This guy, his whole yard was a junkyard.
It looks like garbage.
Paul, yep. Love that guy. Oh, I love this guy. That bus. You can see this from space on Google.
Wow.
You can see this guy's yard. And it was deep south Alabama. The government was after him. They wanted the land. He moved out to the country to get away from the city, and the city caught up with him over 20-some years. This was crazy. I had never, I love this story.
Specializes in homes that have been affected.
Never done hoarding. I mean, never been TV before. And so I got called on a Monday. They said, can you come down and do this show? So I was still cleaning houses for $12 an hour. And then got called down to go do this show. And that was on a Wednesday. So 3 days later, I was doing a TV show.
State of Alabama, he is charged with criminal littering. And that carries a fine of up to $250 and 90 days in jail.
She's kind
of
hot in a dirty way.
Yeah.
Not kind of hot. That girl, that's Ginger. She was very hot.
She's hot in the three or four glasses of whiskey.
Ginger was her name.
Country
music's
playing. Let's get crazy.
She's got cowboy boots on hot. Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
I like
that. You know
it.
What I'm saying?
We need to clean it at least to
She's a cool girl, actually. Yeah. That house, man, we took out so – a cool thing that we took out – I mean, I think we took out like 100 and some cars. The tires you can't get rid of. It's almost impossible to get rid of tires naturally or, I mean, legally.
How do you get rid of them?
You have to send them to a shredder, and then they shred them up for like playgrounds to like be floors.
Uh-huh.
The problem is to recycle things legally, it's very hard in America right now. It's very difficult. The laws are so –
I thought we're like super green.
Yeah, no, well, the green laws are very difficult. This guy, it was a big school bus in his yard, and I was like, "Paul, we gotta get rid of these. We gotta get rid of this bus, man. Like, what are we gonna do?" It was filled with copper, so it was probably $10,000 worth of copper.
Wow!
And the metal is very valuable, especially in the South. And so this guy had, I mean, that bus right there. So I was like, "We got rid of the bus," and he goes, "Man, last time I had sex was in that bus." And I go, "Paul, when was the last time you had sex?" And he goes, "Junior, how old?" He yells to his son. His son is like 43 years old and has like five kids. They edited that out. They didn't show it.
Did he have sex with a dead cat?
Was it like now, he was, you know, most hoarders are totally, I do have a flashlight story. Can I tell it?
Yeah.
All right. Real quick, most hoarders are totally asexual. They don't have space in their mind for sex. Sexuality feelings. Yeah, most of them haven't had sex in 20, 30 years. Wow. It's not even... Like, sex motivates everything I do. Like, I truly believe life revolves around sex. Like, if you dig deep enough, everything you do is to get laid. I really believe that.
Okay, Freud.
I do believe that. I think at the end of the day, I'm trying to impress my wife to have sex with me.
Really?
Why do I work hard? To make my wife happy. Why do I want to make my wife happy?
Wow.
To get
you
laid.
You sound like a slave.
Well, I hate that word, but my dad always, my dad's a big part of my life. He's been dead for 10 years. He always told me, he was in advertising. He said, everything is about trying to get laid. He said, that's all advertising is. You just got to find out how to get laid.
I think that's certainly a desire, but that's just because we have a constant need to reproduce, so we're always horny. But
I don't think it's about reproduction.
A lot of other
just
interesting
horny.
Shit out there.
I'm just horny. I don't think it's about
horny.
Reproduction. I don't think it goes that deep.
Wow.
Pun intended.
Well, that's for you, buddy.
Yeah. I'm sure there's other people that don't believe that.
Well, no, there's a lot of other experiences in life that are pretty fucking fascinating besides just getting laid.
I don't know, butthole in the ass, Joe. Don't knock it.
But back to the beginning, you got to allow yourself to go to that next level. Because a lot of people stop at the, okay, I'm just going to make my wife happy and get laid. And then once, like you said, you were talking about your, that isolation cube tank
yeah.
thing. That blew me away. Like, I did about a 2 week thing right after my dad died. I ran away to Maui, and was living in Hawaii with an ex girlfriend, and that was when I started. Okay, my mind became open to life, and I was like, I'm
post gambling or,
I was trying to figure it out, but I was.
So you hadn't hit rock bottom yet?
No. Well, I mean, I had hit it.
Had you gotten beat up yet?
Yeah, it was about 5 months after that, and my dad died right after that. So okay. Of course that has something to do with it. But I was talking to my ex girlfriend, and she's like, "How you doing?" I was like, "I'm not good." And she said, "Well, you can be not good in Maui." And I was like, "Good point." So I flew out to Maui. Yeah, she's a great
jam.
Girl. Yeah, she's a good girl. So I moved to Maui, was living with her, and I went on a week trip through Hana. I don't know if you've ever done that road to Hana.
No.
It's the backside of Maui. It's a dirt road. And I just hiked it. I just walked through Hana. And I met this family living out in the rainforest. And they were doing a lot of acid and a lot of stuff that
there's
I didn't
a family living in the rainforest.
Yeah, and there's there's a lot of houses. It wasn't like just random.
Yeah, what is it like? Like, what kind of people are living up there?
I mean, old hippies.
Doesn't like Woody Harrelson live up there?
Willie Nelson lived right down
no, Harrelson.
The street. Yeah,
Woody
I'm
Harrelson.
Sure he does.
Willie Nelson lived
right up the street from Hana.
Willie Nelson lived in Hawaii?
He's got a great little house up there. Yeah, he's got a great ranch up in
Makawa.
He's
probably like balling. He's got houses all over
the place. He's got a suite. It's called Makawa. It's up high. Maui is a figure eight. The island, and he lives on the upper side, which is country. It's vaqueros. There's a bunch of Spanish cowboys came there a long time ago. So there's a big like horse community on the higher upper side of West Maui.
Really?
Yeah, it's a fat. Maui's an amazing place, and it's backs right up to the rainforest.
Don't locals get bummed out when
they
hate
us?
People
they fucking there. Hate it. They're called Howleys. They hate us with all our passion.
Really?
We just recently we stole that island. I mean, Americans like in the what 40s? We stole that. We killed their queen.
We killed their queen.
Absolutely. Dole, the Dole Fruit Company, and the Americans killed their queen to get a place to land airplanes.
Really?
They hate they hate white people so bad, passionately.
Well, they're always nice
we
at the
resorts.
We stole
their fucking line. Yeah, but not you get 10 minutes off resort.
Well, I've been off resort before, too. I've met a lot of friendly people Howleys. In Hawaii.
But you get a pass in a lot. I think you're a likable guy and you're an honest guy. You get a pass.
Yeah, and they like BJ Penn. Yeah. They know I'm a BJ Penn fan.
Dude, yeah.
Yeah, he's a Hawaiian.
Did you notice when that
UFC
whole
fighter.
When that oh, I know. When that whole tsunami came in.
Mm-hmm.
He had the BJ Penn cam on top of it. So
everybody
was CNN. Everybody was doing the BJ Penn.
Yeah, we were just told
cam.
This by Brad.
It was crazy.
Yeah.
Ustream.
Yeah, Brad Huxtable.
Do you know the guy? I wanted to ask you this. I'm not a huge MMA guy. I do enjoy watching it when my wife's not around.
What about when she's around? You try to make her happy.
She does. Whatever
constantly.
She wants. Yeah,
we
watch Bravo.
Flowers.
We watch Bravo.
Watch Bravo together.
Yeah, mm-hmm. It is what it is. I gotta survive. It is what it is. I love my wife, and she runs our life.
Wow.
The that Uriah Faber guy.
Yeah.
I used to watch him when he was a lot smaller.
No, he's smaller now than he's ever been.
How? Really? He looks so much bigger.
No, he started off his career. He fought a few fights. I think he fought at 55. Then he dropped down to 45, won the title, lost the title at 45 to Mike Brown, lost an attempt at it again to Brown, then lost again to Jose Aldo, so dropped down to 35. And now he is coaching.
He's 135?
Yeah. Well, he doesn't weigh 135. Yeah. He cuts
fights
down to
it.
135.
Yeah. So what do they weigh?
No, he doesn't really fight at it either. He just it's really stupid. They weigh in at it. I mean, I shouldn't say it's
so
stupid
because
it is an
aspect of sport.
So that
1 second in that day, they weigh 135.
For, you know, it's usually for an hour or two.
Okay.
They
so what do they really weigh?
Themselves.
Like 150-something?
He probably weighs close to 150-something, you know, when he gets into the octagon, 20 pounds of water. You know, I mean, I wouldn't say it'd be that much because that seems like that would wear him down, you know, because as you, pounds mean more of a percentage of body weight when you get to a smaller person. You don't think of, like a big wrestler can cut 20 pounds, no problem. But, you know, he's walking around 220 pounds. He's cutting 20 pounds of water.
That's easy to
drop. He makes 205. There's a big difference between that and a guy who's 150 cutting down to 130. You know, there's a
that's percentage.
A,
I mean,
yeah,
that's,
the percentage of body weight is massive for 20 pounds at that weight. But people do some really dangerous shit. We've had guys black out. You know, it's real tricky. You know, the more ones that are handled by great professional gyms and do it healthily and like guys like George St. Pierre or Anderson Silva, they cut weight, but you never see them looking scary
properly.
They never look gaunt and scary. Like Anderson Silva, I know he cuts weight, but he never looks bad. So he's only cutting the what needs to be cut. They've got it down to a science. The smart guys do.
The good ones.
But every now and then, guys will take a chance. It's just an unfortunate aspect of the game.
I watched not a documentary, but a TV show about the guys that bought the UFC.
Mm-hmm.
Man, I mean, that was fascinating, man. Just fascinating how they bought it from that. It was such a circus at one point.
I was in the old circus. I used to
Did
work
you fight
for the
in
old
that?
Circus. No. I used to be the post-fight interviewer. I was involved in both organizations. I was involved in the old one. Yeah, I did the old one from 1997. I did 97 and 98, and then I quit. And then the new company came along. They bought it in 2001.
And it was some casino guys that put money into that.
Yeah, the Fertittas. Yeah. Frank and Lorenzo.
Good
dudes,
from what I hear.
Great dudes.
Yeah.
Couldn't be better. Perfect. You know, we always said when I was a fan back in the day, we said, you know what would be awesome? If some really loked out billionaire dudes just became huge fans of the sport and just threw a shitload of money at it.
And
we know it would be huge. And that's exactly what happened. You know, there was one point in time while they were financing the Ultimate Fighter and putting it all together, they were over $44 million in the hole. $44 million.
I mean, from a business perspective, that is unreal.
Yeah, that's like craziness. You have to make
that show
80 million.
Phenomenal ratings. Man.
It does now. It does well now. Now it's live, actually. Now The Ultimate Fighter is live on FX, so you get to watch the fights as they happen.
As they happen.
Yeah, which is pretty badass. It's a new thing that they're doing this time.
I mean, I'm amazed by the business side of it. I mean, the CEO is obviously a badass. I mean, he's the more and more I hear him talk. What's his name?
Dana White. Yeah.
Dana White.
Well,
Jesus
he loves
Christ,
it. He loves the sport 100%.
He's a badass.
He knows how to do it correctly. Yeah.
He does. I do.
Nobody works as hard as that guy.
No, I do O&A a bunch, and they just swear by that guy. I mean, they're like just blown away by him.
Yeah, I do an O&A too. Every time I'm in New York, I love those guys. That's the best radio show.
They crack me up.
Jimmy Norton kills me.
He's the funniest fucking guy I know.
Ever. Funniest guy on radio ever, Jim Norton, no doubt.
Hey, another one. Back to honesty. He's awesome. He is who he is. He's fine with it. He's totally fine with it.
I mean, who the fuck
if you don't like it, who gives a shit?
Who the fuck else was joking about getting blown by trannies like Jimmy? You know, I mean, Jimmy brings it up on a
daily
basis.
And he makes you feel like you're a fucking idiot for not getting blown by a tranny.
Yeah, it sounds awesome. Sounds delicious.
And then he somehow gets on Leno.
Yeah.
And I'm like, God, this guy, I mean, he just blows me away.
Yeah, he's amazing, man.
So hopefully I'll have a lot of listeners coming in from my guys listening to this one. Give me kind of a 5-second pitch. Like, when I now watch MMA, I'm blown away by it, man. Like, it totally blows me away. Why is it so much better than boxing? Because boxing's boring now.
Well, you know what it is? It's not that it's better than boxing. It's just boxing is only one aspect of a real fight. And boxing is very exciting. You know, if you watch a good, like, if Manny Pacquiao was going to fight Pretty Boy Floyd, or, like, go back in time and watch, like, Tommy Hearns and Sugar Ray Leonard, or, you know, there's some great fights.
I mean, I remember growing up, any Tyson fight when I was in high school and
those
college
are massacres,
was
though.
Huge.
Those
but it was still the buzz, the excitement. Yeah. It was all pay-per-view. Everybody, you didn't care. I mean, we would drive to a cable place to buy some type of chip that allowed us to watch the Tyson fight. And everyone pitch in like $2 to do it. We don't do that boxing now. We'll watch a UFC.
I still like
fight.
Boxing. You know,
you
like,
do.
Yeah, you can't tell me that a fight like Meldrick Taylor and Julio Cesar Chavez, like one of those fights, like that's an exciting fight. It's exciting. And it's not the same, you know, when a guy can't take a guy down or when a guy can't throw kicks. And it's really not the same. But under those rules, like in choosing to fight that way, it's very fascinating to watch, like, who's better at it.
So you respect the rules regardless of the type of fight.
I respect someone who's very skillful at anything.
Whatever
they skillful
do.
At boxing. Like, I love watching Floyd Mayweather fight. And one of the things I like watching him fight about is how smart he is about avoiding danger. He very rarely gets hit. He's very smart at moving. He's very smart at timing. He's very smart defensively. He keeps his hands in the proper position. He very rarely gets clipped. And when he does get clipped, he recovers very well. He's like real slick about the actual art form of boxing. And when you see like him fight a guy like Sugar Shane Mosley and essentially just shut him down, that's an amazing accomplishment. You got to realize how good Sugar Shane Mosley is, and then you can appreciate what you see Floyd Mayweather do. You know, and a guy like Manny Pacquiao just beats Sugar Shane Mosley senseless. That's an incredible accomplishment. If you know how good Shane is, and you see like the Shane Margarito fight when he just chewed Margarito up, Shane Mosley is a beast. So I'm a fan of anybody who's skillful at anything. I'm a fan of people that are skillful gymnasts. You know, I'll watch.
Have you seen? There's a video out here of this dude came out last week of this butcher tearing apart a pig in 2 minutes.
Jesus Christ!
It's fucking art. It's amazing. This guy in it. I mean, not
two
to,
minutes.
Two
a whole
minutes.
Pig?
A whole pig. It's fucking. It's art. It's amazing.
Where do you find that?
It's
on
YouTube. Yeah,
Brian,
just like 2 minutes.
Pull that shit up.
2 minutes. But it's. Like, I was like, holy crap, I want to be a butcher. Like, I watch this thing. You know, I was like, man, this is beautiful. Like, it's like, for me, I'm the same way. I just enjoy if you're good at something and you're totally passionate about it, awesome. I don't care what it is.
I never thought I would be into watching shows on cooking until I started watching Anthony Bourdain.
Top Chef
Bourdain
is awesome,
show.
Man. Oh, Anthony Bourdain is amazing.
I've never seen that.
Has he ever come in here?
Yeah, we had
Anthony
Bourdain.
I think he's fascinating.
On. Yeah, he was awesome. He's a great dude, too. Is this the guy going to do it? All right, he's going to shoot. This guy's gonna
watch this guy
do this whole pig in 2 minutes.
There goes the head.
Wow, it's so ruthless. It's really crazy when you see it like sectioned up like that. It doesn't look like an animal anymore. Once it starts getting sectioned, it just becomes like meat.
I heard him interviewed about it the other day, and he goes, I really love the art of butchering, and I just wanted people to see it.
I really love the art of butchering. Jesus Christ.
I never thought about it that way.
Oh!
And, like, you don't realize, these knives, you would take your leg off like that.
Oh, yeah. I mean, he's cutting right through meat and bone with this thing.
And bone. Yeah. That's the same as your leg.
Oh, Jesus. He's got a saw.
It's unreal, man.
Holy fuck. Yeah. How many people are completely removed from this aspect of eating meat?
That's why he did it. He said he wanted people to respect what they eat, and he wanted people to see that they're only eating good things.
It's really amazing what we've done in society by creating cities and having supermarkets. We've completely taken the gathering and hunting out of our lifestyle.
My grandparents lived in a tiny little town way north of Denver, but up in the middle of nowhere, and they would only – they would hunt it or grow it, and that was it.
I bet they were healthy as fuck.
Yeah, they lived to like – what, 85? Healthy as shit. They worked in the farm every day.
Look at the body cavity that's left over.
I know.
Jesus Christ.
And think of the confidence with that knife it takes to, like...
Yeah, he's pulling out the loin now. This is where, like, tenderloin. You know what that is? It's the lump of the slab of meat that covers your spine.
And even, like, dresses the bacon and everything. I just think it's amazing.
That was the tenderloin that he just pulled out right there. And he's slicing the other side of it right now. That's crazy, man. This guy's...
I love his thing. I watched it, like, 3 times.
Yeah, I don't think I really like watching this. Doesn't bother me. Doesn't bother me, but it's interesting.
What hits me on it is the confidence. Okay, I really respect confidence of whatever you do. And this dude is confident enough to just throw this thing around.
He sure knows what the fuck he's doing.
He knows every single step, and he knows what he's doing in 3 or 4 steps. And I admire that. I think it's awesome.
He set the bar for butchers, I'll tell you that. There's a lot of guys going, I need a half an hour at least to clean up a pig. This motherfucker just did it in 2 minutes and then put it on YouTube. Wow.
I think that is so fucking cool.
All right.
Now, he probably went to school for 5 years for that, you know, or
really?
Practiced. I mean, I think he went to school for a year and then practiced for, you know, 5 or 10 years to do that.
Wow.
And this is so random, but I just think shit like that is just
fascinating. Yeah, well, I think we're all attracted to people that are really passionate about what they do and really excellent at what they do. It's because, you know, you tune into that and you go, wow, you know, that kind of translates into anything you wanted to, you know, this guy who's great at being a guitarist, you know, could be great at being a butcher, could be great at being a chef, could be great, you know, if he had that sort of same focus at that, you know, you watch a guy who's great at carpentry or, you know, great at anything. It's there's something that it elevates us to watch other people be really good at stuff.
Well, I mean, don't you do that?
Sure.
I mean, you're did you ever fight or not? I mean,
I did when I was young. Yeah,
you did.
I did a lot of Taekwondo tournaments and I did some kickboxing, but it was before the UFC was around. And then by the time the UFC was around, I was already on TV and I was just trying to make it out here. And well, I was trying to be a stand-up comedian and it never even existed. But I had to learn jiu-jitsu. I had to, because all my life I had been involved in striking. That's all I'd ever done. And the UFC just made me realize, like, wow, like, there's some shit you need to learn. I need to learn submissions.
You had to commit, I mean, even to both fighting and to comedy. I mean, you guys said you spent 10 years on comedy?
I wasn't qualified to do anything else, man.
No, I'm saying comedy.
Yeah, but comedy. I could have done martial arts, could have taught martial arts, but like regular jobs, but in chasing martial arts and in becoming completely obsessed and focusing 100% of all my energy and efforts on one thing, I had basically completely neglected my schoolwork, completely neglected some idea of a safety net. I didn't have a safety net. I wasn't even thinking about the potential for failing in life. I wasn't thinking about it. I was just trying to get excellent at martial arts. And then when I realized that I was going to have a different sort of a job and I was going to have a different career, there was a moment where I was like, what am I going to do next? And then I found comedy, and it was like really quick. It was like, boom, this is it.
Well, that was my moment when I realized, and this was after the rock bottom. I mean, I had a lot of, I thought about killing myself. I was very depressed. I mean,
how are we
going to
do it?
I thought about a gun. I drove towards Walmart and I was to buy a gun.
Really?
And I was like, what the fuck am I doing?
You got close.
No, I don't want to act like I bought a gun. I didn't.
But you thought about
I thought about it. Because I really got to the point, it was like when I was going to call this wedding off, I was like, it would just be better if I'm gone and no one gets hurt. And I was like, but
so
then they'll
just
know.
Just kill yourself because
you
didn't want to get married?
I didn't want to upset her and I didn't want to upset my mom.
Wow.
And I got to the point where I was like, but then immediately it was like, what the fuck are you thinking? Like, this that's crazy, right?
Right.
But there was a point where I got so rock bottom, I was like, okay, there's something here. Like, this has got to be good. There's got to be good in this somewhere. And so I always, when I have an audience as large as I'm going to have here, I just want to make sure you guys, like, if you're listening and you're down as shit, man, there's something good that's going to come out of this.
You know?
My dad dying ended up being the best thing that ever happened to me.
Wow.
Clearly. I got my shit together. My brother got his shit together. All of his friends got sober. Everybody got their shit together. My dad did more by dying than he did by living. And my dad would love that. I say that all the time. My dad would love that I'm saying this out loud to an audience this big. He motivated me and a lot of other people to get their shit together. So for me, like, that moment, I don't want to say it was an aha moment, but like when I realized, like, okay, wait a minute, I've gone really deep. Now if I just embrace it and stop hiding it and not telling people about it, like, I should just totally tell everyone about it.
Right.
And I'll do more with it. And that was after when I realized my dad, like, we were trying to make this funeral that was like all like perfect and awesome, and it was fake. And then we just like, fuck it, we're just gonna stand up and tell the real story,
right?
And people celebrated the real story.
Funerals,
and it was an
brutal,
awesome thing,
man.
I think they can be awesome.
Like them.
I think they can be awesome. We had about 500 people that stood up and drank beers and or drank little shots of Dewars, and they told stories about my dad.
Well, that's great.
It was awesome. It was a
celebration. If you can get a good group of people around and pull that off.
It was a celebration of who he really was.
Yeah. The last time I was at a funeral was brutal. His family members crying and everybody's depressed and whoa.
What was your Fleshlight story going back to
that? Oh, Fleshlight. Yeah. Magna Rao comes back around. We did a very early on. A&E's asked me not to tell this story anymore. So let me definitely say it's not an A&E house. It's a house I did privately.
They've asked you to not tell this story.
They don't like the dildos. When there's dildos and sex toys involved, they don't like it.
They don't mind human shit.
They're fine with human shit.
45,000-pound bundles.
The line is dildos.
Dead cats, that's fine. Oh, wait a minute. Does this give people pleasure in their genitals? Not interested.
So there was a bunch of back massagers
in this house. Yes, back massagers. So this house, this dude collected. It was a private home. The family told us he was dying, right, of heart disease. So we walked into this thinking, we're cleaning the house to get hospice to be allowed to come here.
Right.
So we're fine with it. We start cleaning the house, and right away we're seeing a lot of, like, paper porn. Like, old swank magazines and, you know, shit that's got cum stains on it.
Oh, right? Jesus.
I mean, not digital. And so we're going, you see it physically. When you see this volume, I mean, all of us watch a ton of porn on internet, but could you imagine if that was all physical and you had to just flip through each magazine that you look at?
Wow.
And it's filled with all crusty things. So, like, I mean, it was just, this guy didn't get digital yet, and so he just had tons and tons of porn. Probably no more than what we look at, but it just was physical. And we're going through the house, and then the deeper we got, it got more aggressive. Like, there was some Disney porn, like Disney characters drawn out.
Oh, my God.
We found Polaroids.
Oh.
Like I said the other day, like, think of taking your picture with your cell phone now of your dick. Think trying to do that with a Polaroid.
Wow.
Like, you got to set it all up. You got to pull the neck thing around. Yeah, I mean, you got to pull that red button. Like, whoa, it's not easy. And there were some kids and kids involved in the Polaroid picture.
Oh, no.
So we were like, ooh, I don't know. We got to call the cops. At the same time, some of my guys were in the back room.
So this guy knew this stuff was there or didn't know?
He obviously knew it was there, but in his mind, he had justified it. That it was okay.
He had justified it was okay to have naked pictures of kids?
Well, it's probably because he was dying also.
He didn't think anything wrong with us being in there. He didn't think twice about it. Wow. So at the same time, one of my guys finds this really big flashlight that he thinks. And he opens it up. And he's like, that looks like a vagina. Turns it upside down. Turns it upside down, and a little couple things drop out of it.
Oh.
And then he realized
what it was. Clean your fleshlights,
people. He realized what it was, and he tossed it across the room, the fleshlight. And that was our first introduction to the fleshlight.
Wow. From some crazy hoarder that's saving his sperm in it.
Mm. Oh. Sperm hoarder.
You know what, though? Did that guy go to jail, dude? It probably, I hate to say it, we always say, it probably saved him from going out and doing something crazy, man.
Yeah.
Yeah, maybe.
That's awful to
hopefully
say it, but he ended up going to jail. We had to call the cops.
Yeah. He went to jail for child porn?
He did, yeah. For 3 years. We got 3 years. And then when he got out.
That's all you get?
Yeah, that's it. And he got out, and all the guys on my crew have served longer time for, like, selling weed. And that dude was molesting boys and got 3 years.
Jesus.
Gets out.
Right.
Gets out, and he calls us to clean the house again.
Are you
again.
Serious?
Why?
And I was like, the house was messy, and he filled it up again in a year. And he's like, hey, I think you guys might have cleaned my house before. And I was like, dude, you should still be in jail, man.
What the fuck are you doing out?
Do child molesters cut their fleshlights in half?
Oh, shit. Did he give up on child molesting?
I don't know. We told him to fuck off. Like, we were just not interested.
Yeah,
I
mean,
we just couldn't believe that he called us back and was like, hey, can you help me?
That's creepy as fuck, man.
We get some weird stuff, man. And again, it comes back to it. What you see, I think life is subjective, man. Like, what I see on a daily basis is so much more intense than what someone else might see. And so when I get to a hoarder, it's no big deal, man.
Right.
It's no big deal. But, like, I run a lot of marathons. And when you are running a marathon, there's always someone behind you. I always say, it doesn't matter how bad a day you're having, there's always someone in the race behind you. You're never going to be last. And one day I actually got passed by a dude with, he only had one leg. And I had a really bad marathon. And about mile 18 where you hit the wall. I was like, oh, I'm fucking dying. I had my head down, and I looked up, and this dude with one leg just fucking hops by me.
Oh,
you know?
Wow.
And I was like,
was he only on one leg?
No, he has, like, an artificial leg, but he's only had one leg, and he kicked my ass. He beat me by about 10 minutes.
How much of his leg was missing? The whole leg?
Oh, I mean, it was way above thigh, so that hurts. Wow. I mean, the pain about it is apparently amazing. It's not knee. It was way above the knee.
So he's running in pain.
The whole time. And,
oh, my God.
And, of course, that made me be like, well, fuck, if this guy can finish, I better finish.
Jesus Christ.
You know? I mean, for me, I always come back, it's everything's mental. Everything is mental. And it's just, are you going to quit before you're willing to overtake it?
There's a lot to life that's mental.
I think. I mean, you shit happens, and it's not your fault. I get that. That's not mental.
Right.
But if you're ever faced with quitting, that's up to you. You either quit or you don't.
But I thought quitting is good if a guy's beating your ass.
That's strategically stopping. That's not quitting. That's a smart decision to stop.
Absolutely.
If you were beating the fuck out of me, I'd say I'm sorry and get out of there. That's just smart.
That is smart. Yeah, you're right. As long as you're not quitting. One of those crazy guys that waits in an alley with a baseball bat afterwards. Yeah, you motherfucker. Now I'm going to get payback. You got to take your ass kickings.
It's
very important in life.
I firmly believe you just have to be. If you're mentally strong, you can get through things. I know
it helps.
It's not that simple.
You're right. It's not that simple, but it helps. It certainly is.
Stay committed to whatever you're doing.
It's an honorable attribute. It's a very attractive attribute too. That's why these stories that you told today were so much fun, because you know, everybody likes to hear a story about a guy who was falling apart and a guy who got into an unimaginable situation. You're getting, you know, a bookie is beating you up and you owe him $40,000. It's craziness.
It seems craziness, but you can get there really quick.
Yeah. Oh, I believe you. Well, I think that's what's admirable about it, is about your story.
I mean, I didn't come from a bad home. All the bad things in my life came by personal choices. Like, I had a great family. Nothing bad should happen to me. I had all the chances in the world. I just made a few bad decisions.
Well, it sounds like the college thing, going to a casino, is what set you off, right? That's what started it all.
Yeah, I just really dug it, man. I don't think anything's wrong with gambling if you can control it.
Did it go? I mean, how long were you gambling before you were completely out of control?
Oh, years.
I mean, oh, so you're fine for years.
I wasn't fine. I was getting there. When it hit me. Yeah, I mean.
Why do they say it grows? Because I've talked to people, and these are like people who are alcoholics, and they make alcoholism sound like it's like you got cursed by a demon and there's some sort of an evil force inside you. But no, my friend actually said this to me. He said, what you don't understand is that even when you're not using, the addiction still grows.
Oh, God, yeah. I would think about it all the time.
The addiction grows.
Absolutely.
So you feel like your addiction is stronger now than it was when you were even gambling. It's grown.
I think I'm coming off. I'm addicted to new things. My addiction to other things is very strong.
So, but in your case,
if
not
I had
to
never,
gambling, though. You don't have that same addiction to gambling. Like, it's not.
No, I have a feeling if I was at a table, I'd have a real hard time not doing it.
So his explanation of it, though, which was so hard for me to wrap my head around, was that this addiction is a disease, and that the disease is unstoppable, and that all you could do is sort of manage your life, and you're never cured. You're always just recovering.
Recovering, yes. Wow. Absolutely. I do believe that. But there's levels of that, and it doesn't mean your life has to be horrible. I mean, anyone that's listening, your life is shit, man. You can make some choices to change. It doesn't mean it's going to be perfect. Your life's never going to be perfect. We tell the hoarders, like, don't try to think that your life is going to, all of a sudden, you're going to be cured in a year and your life's going to be great. You've got to really set your expectations. And if for a hoarder that's had, 40,000 pounds of shit in their life, literally, if you can just keep a couple rooms clean and actually show up and go to work, that's success for you. You've got to really set your expectations. You're never going to have a perfect, easy life like you see on TV. That's not realistic. But so for a lot of these guys that are addicts out there, I mean, your life may not be perfect ever again, but it can be better than it is right now. And you got to make some decisions and make a plan and get it set. And it's never easy. It doesn't take a day.
Well, dude, I didn't expect this part of the conversation. I thought we were just going to talk about crazy. Yeah. No, it was great. It's not that it was an RI. It was great. I think it was very inspirational for people. Like I said, people love hearing people figuring things out. They love that. You know, they love people. And I think it's especially important, rather, for you and your job, because you come to them and you come to these crazy people with this perspective. Like, I understand how this can go completely wrong. I understand, and
I get it. I've been there.
And you say, yeah, you've been worse, and that's amazing. That's a really cool situation, man. You're the perfect guy for the job, man.
Thank you. I'm lucky as doing it. I got a great job, man.
This was a great conversation. It was a lot of fun.
Thank
really
you,
interesting stuff.
I'm a huge fan. Honored to be here. I know you don't want to.
I'm a huge fan as well,
man.
Especially
just
now.
Exciting.
And what is your podcast again?
Podcast,
how can people get it?
5 Decisions Away. Go on iTunes or 5decisionsaway.com.
What is it? What category is it on iTunes?
We're TV and there it is right there. We are TV and entertainment. So it turns out it's pretty.
By the way, it's for non-iTunes users. You have for non-iTunes users.
Yeah, I'm not a Mac guy. I'm not an Apple guy.
Oh, it's not iTunes?
I do all this shit myself.
No. I mean, no, yeah. I mean, like,
oh. The, oh, no, we're on iTunes. We're no, on iTunes.
It's called iTunes.
But you don't, like Max?
I just never, I never committed to it.
You never
I'm still hanging
to it?
On. Yeah, I own a business still. I mean, so I'm still PC.
How many viruses do you get?
Five a day.
For real?
Oh, sure. I mean, good lord.
Do you really get a lot of viruses?
A lot. Yeah, I mean, porn, you get viruses.
Are you addicted to porn as well?
I enjoy it. I'm not going to lie. I'm married. I am married. I mean, it's a lot easier.
Yeah. You know? We should have got you a flashlight.
Spank wired.
Could you bring one home or would you get in trouble?
Oh, no, I don't need that.
You don't need
that. It's too much effort.
Yeah. Too much effort?
I'm 2 minutes in and out. I'm done.
Really?
Yeah. I mean, I work a lot. I need to be in bed, man. Give me 2 minutes. I'm done. Yeah. Think of a buddy's wife. I'm out.
Boom.
I'm done.
Think of your buddy's wife. Really? You have a buddy
with
a
wife? We had a conversation about that the other night. Someone was like, have you ever masturbated to your wife? And everybody in the room was like, no. Never thought about my actual own wife.
Right.
Yeah, but someone else's wife.
You thought about your buddy's wife?
Always. We always say, who's your, we call the closer. You know that show, The Closer, right, on TBS? And we always call each other's wives the closer.
Really?
Because if you can't do it, man, that's the closer. Someone else's
wife. Wow. So you're being honest about jerking off to each other's wives.
Dude,
does he jerk off to your wife as well?
I'm sure he does. My wife's hot.
But he doesn't tell you this? You're just putting it in his face.
I'm sure he is, man. My wife's hot. His wife's hot, but it doesn't. I'm not gonna. It's not gonna achievement. If I'm thinking of my wife, I gotta have someone else.
Have you ever tried to set up your wives together?
No, it's too much work.
Maybe they like it. Get some Merlot.
I don't know that.
Merlot.
I'm old school. I love my wife. I love being married. It's a good thing. I love being a dad. It's fun. But you know, you gotta do what you gotta do.
Well, I think you have you definitely have a certain happiness from knowing the darkest sides of your personality and what you're capable of getting yourself
into. This is a life I never thought I'd have. Yeah. This is so cool. So I would never want to fuck it up.
That's beautiful, man. Listen, Matt, you're a great guy.
Hey,
thank you very much for coming on here. It was a lot of fun. I really, really appreciate it. Anytime you ever want to come back. Well,
I will. Don't offer it. I'll come.
You're on. Come on. I'm offering it. Anytime. Come on down. And you can get him. Please follow Matt on Twitter. It's Clutter Cleaner. One word, Clutter Cleaner at Twitter. And his podcast, Five Decisions Away. You can get it on iTunes. Yep. You can get it on fivedecisionsaway.com.
Yep, either one. And there's an app if you need
it. Atlanta, the tickets are on sale for the second show. Yes, I am filming my DVD on April 20th like a true stoner. Because it was 420. I couldn't pass. And plus, it was Atlanta. I have been in Atlanta a long time. And I had the opportunity to play at this place called the Tabernacle, which is this amazing theater in Atlanta. It's going to be me, Joey Diaz, and Duncan Trussell. The first show is sold out, but we just released tickets for a second show. It's going to be at 10:30. We're filming during both shows, so don't worry about it. Like, don't say, fuck. Like, a lot of people got mad. I already have tickets to the 8 show. This is bullshit. We're filming the 8 o'clock show, too. Don't worry about it. We're going to have a great fucking time. Again, Joey Diaz, Brian Redband's coming. Duncan Trussell is going to be there. Little Hobo will be there as well. And I will be releasing this on the internet, Louis C.K. style, for $5. The easiest way to do it. Yeah, Louis changed the game. It's a game changer, bitches. That is the end of our 4 podcasts in a row week, Brian.
Yeah.
How you feeling?
I'm
okay?
Going to take a nap.
You want to get something
to
eat?
I'm starving.
You're going to get some yum-yums.
Yeah.
Thank you, everybody. Thank you for being the coolest fucking audience members in the world. We, you know, everywhere we go, we are constantly being told how generous the fans of the podcast are, how cool people are, and how nice and what a pleasure it is to wait on you guys. And that means the world to me. I just want to say thank you. Thank you very much for that. Next weekend, I'm at the Comedy and Magic Club. The weekend after that, I'm at the Louisville Improv. All the information is available on joerogan.net. And this weekend, Friday and Saturday, we are here at the Ice House in the Annex. It's the 85-seat room. This shit sells out quickly. And it's going to be a lot of our friends, Joe Diaz, Duncan Trussell, whoever's around. We got a lot of guys coming down. So good times are coming, you fucking freaks. And we won't see you until next week, okay? Next week. Bye, everybody.
All right.
See ya.